You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-host for this show, the Brothers Layman, Chris.
And Jonathan, coming through via the Skizite.
You know what it is. Hey, man, we getting down to the end. This weekend is my weekend. I'm going to be at track both days.
I'm sure. Oh, both days?
Yeah, he's starting the A meets now, so now it's Saturday, Sunday.
Damn.
So I will definitely make sure I got my phone on charge.
Yeah.
Listening to the game, because it is countdown. Records look like they trying to be broken.
Wednesday is the last game for a certain person, and the last time we get to see if somebody can achieve a certain record. And
this
is exciting times right here, and then playoffs starting. Good Lord, that's all it's about.
Yeah,
that's probably all we're gonna talk about, honestly.
Yeah, the playoffs is gonna dominate, because that's what it's about. You know, NFL keeps giving us news, and we're gonna be getting into a little of that. Got to give some love to some folk over in Pennsylvania who did the damn thing.
But
that's what's up.
I picked them.
Yeah, you did. We wanted them. You know, some other events that went around this past weekend with some fighting and some swinging, some golfing. So we're going to touch on a little bit of all of that, you know, as well as, you know, do how we do with our segments.
Of course.
So if y'all want to get at us, y'all want to chop up any sports talk, feedback, ratings, how you think of the show, any of that, you can reach out to us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Voicemail is 323-455-4219. And you can always hit us up on the show page at the website, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Feel free. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything that y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish to us, anything y'all want to know, it don't matter. Any sports related topics, hit us up and we will definitely get back at you.
Holla. All right. Let's jump into some of this feedback.
Get
back on and start another streak.
All right. Going again.
The homie Baylor the Great. His title, In Cap We Trust.
In cap we don't want.
If the NBA allows Thon Maker to enter the draft, where do you see him going? That's a huge change in the first round if he does. We talking a KD-KG hybrid forward. In the tournaments I've seen him play in, he's been pretty dominant. But this goes back to my previous email about just letting these kids jump ship and bypass the college courses in the first damn place. Yeah, we got him on a down hit. What finals matchup would you want to see the most that didn't happen? Lakers 97-98 versus Chicago Bulls 97-98. 2009 Lakers versus 2009 Cavs. 2011 Thunder versus Bulls 2011 team. It's just a lot of star matchups in these finals. Yes, it is.
It is.
And he has the four-year college players versus the one-and-done college players versus the high schoolers. Who has a more impressive resume / list? And he has the 4 years, Tim Duncan, J.J. Redick, Tyler Hansbrough, David Robinson, Christian Laettner, Patrick Ewing, Danny Manning, Jameer Nelson, Buddy Hyde, Kenya Martin, David West, Danny Granger, Steve Nash. That's his four-year guys. The one-and-done player, Kevin Durant, John Wall, Mike Conley, Chris Bosh, Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Tyreek Evans, DeMar DeRozan, DeMarcus Cousins, and Eric Bledsoe. Okay.
All right.
High school, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Dwight Howard, and Jonathan Bender, Monte Ellis, Kwame Brown, Amari Stoudemire, Tracy McGrady, Al Harrington, Rashard Lewis, Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry.
See, that list started off really nice, and then it
and it faded like a mug.
Drop until it got to T-Mac, my boy.
Yeah. John, the NFL offseason is in full swing. Free agency took off, and now the draft is next. Looking at your current roster right now, who would you like in this draft coming up? At least three players. And then he asked for
okay.
me. Chris, after Duncan, Ginobili, Parker are done, mainly the senior citizens, who would be complimentary to Leonard? Do you stay home and develop a bench player or sniff around free agency slash draft? P.S. Sources say that the strippers that was paid for the Louisville players was paid in KFC $5 boxes, 2013 Final Four net pieces, and was given Luke Hancock practice jersey via Doc Wiley's IDS sauces. Shout out to you, Baylor.
Shout out, Baylor. He's steady be taking shots at Louisville.
Oh, man. It ain't him.
Teddy, it wasn't me. LJ, it wasn't me.
Yep.
appreciate the email, Baylor, of course. First things first, I'll get to your finals question.
Mm-hmm.
A finals that I wanted to see.
That didn't happen.
That did not happen. I would have loved to see. I think we were just talking about this. I think this is when he left. When the Rockets won the chip, was that when Jordan was out?
Yes.
I would have loved to see those Rockets against the Bulls with Jordan.
Yes.
I think that would have been a fucking awesome series, only because you got everything, like, everywhere. You had, you know, you got Hakeem, so pretty much you got advantage Rockets when it comes to the big men in the front court. You know, you got Clyde Drexler as well as Jordan, so you got a great matchup in the shooting guard positions. Man, I mean, I think that would have been a great series.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. And you're doing 998 Lakers versus them Bulls.
I also would like to see a Thibodeau coach with a healthy pre-injury Derrick Rose against your Spurs. I think them two, that'd be two very good defensive games. I mean, a very good defensive series.
No, I think it would be too.
Pre-injury.
I would have liked to see – I actually would have liked to see last year if – both of them teams would have been healthy. I'd have liked to see an Oklahoma City Thunder Cleveland Cavalier matchup.
Mm.
Get Durant and them chance number two to go at LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back. Shit. Before that, I don't know, man. Cause they've all
turned out pretty good. Yeah, like that's tough. Just to think off the top of my head.
Maybe the team. That was that the year before that Indiana Pacers team?
Which one?
That had Artest in them and Jermaine O'Neal.
Jermaine O'Neal?
Yeah.
Jackson?
He said, is Steven Jackson?
Jackson on the team?
I don't know. I feel like the year they went, I think the year before they were better. I think they just ended up losing for – whatever damn reason. But the ones you pick, of course I would like to see the Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. Although, if it's 09 versus that Cavs, I'd have probably picked the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you got, Wilk Gasol in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland just had, it was LeBron James plus some BBC players.
LeBron and Larry Hughes.
Ah, man. This Thon Maker, since you brought it up, I watched some video of the dude. I mean, he got some game. I mean, I ain't going to get it twisted. He do can play for real. I'm just, I don't know if I'm ready to just throw him as number one, though.
I haven't seen much film on him. I mean, if any at all. I've just kind of read some things, but it's tough to say. I think he could go a wide range. He could go from number one to as low as like the teens or 20s, because he's that much of an unknown.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't expect him to fall like past 10 if he's, you know, we don't know.
Mean, I've seen some people that have projected him to go in the 20s.
Okay. Just, you know,
again, he's that much of an unknown. They don't,
right,
you know.
Right. We don't know if he's cleared yet. Now, if he's cleared, you know, he goes to the combine and whatnot and makes it impressive.
Still fall.
Yeah.
And got to put on muscle.
Yeah. I mean, the dude is mad thin.
Yeah. He's real thin.
Yeah. But, I've seen some video they had. And I saw YouTube where they had a lot of his clips. I mean, he's got some handles.
Mm-hmm.
He does look like you said, a Durant Garnett hybrid, where you said like he's 7 foot that can handle the rock. I don't know if he can score like Kevin Durant, but when you see him, he does remind you of Kevin Garnett.
Mm.
You know, but I don't see him. I don't see him jumping Ben Simmons at all, because I don't know. I mean,
Ben Simmons just had the consistency.
Yeah,
but the only thing with Ben Simmons, he can't shoot for shit.
Right. You know, so. But Foco, you know, that can always be improved on.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
As far as your draft picks, who would I like to see the Broncos take? Three players. Okay, here we go. First one, I'm just going to throw this out there to show the brother some love, just because at some point I want to get him on the show. I would like to see them get Sterling Shepard, the wide receiver from Oklahoma.
Okay.
Brother's about 5'10". He's about the same size as Antonio Brown, about 5'10", 192. Is considered the best route runner coming into the draft this year. I like him similar to how I liked Tyler Lockett coming out last year out of Kansas State. I think he'd be a perfect slot receiver for the Broncos, dude who can also return kicks and punts. And eventually, who knows, take Emmanuel Sanders' place if and when he becomes a free agent. Who knows if we can re-sign him or not after that, because we do got him on a team-friendly deal, and I'm sure he's going to want to cash in. So, you know, I think that'd be a good pick. Another dude I would like to see the Broncos get, if he fell, I would like to see. I would take a chance on who's that dude that did the fucking synthetic marijuana? That Robert MDK dude.
Oh yeah.
Ole Miss. I'd take a chance on him just because he's a beast.
Yeah.
And I think we have the locker room that can help him out. I mean, we took a chance on Shane Ray last year when he had his little marijuana issue.
Yeah.
He turned out okay. Things seemed to work out fine. I just think we have a very good locker room that really has a good leadership quality to it. He's a defensive dude, so DeMarcus Ware would be in his corner. So would Von Miller. So would a lot of these dudes, T.J. Ward, Nakeem Talib, dudes that ain't taking none of that shit, and they're gonna tell this young man, you know, get on your game because we defending champs and we trying to get back. So I think that'd be a nice pick. And then the last dude, I would like to see them if he's deemed relatively, you know, not healthy, but it's not a career-threatening injury. I'd like to see him take a flyer on Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame. That fool was projected before he got hurt to be like a top-10 pick. But he blew out his – I think he tore his ACL or MCL or something. So he ain't going to play this season. He's pretty much going to redshirt this season. But since we lost Danny Trevathan, DeMarcus Ware is getting older. We got a whole – in the linebacking core, so I think he'd be a nice get. Can sit down, learn from DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, our great linebackers that we got, and then come in next season and then roll. So that's my three.
All right. For my question, after the senior citizens is done, who will be complimentary to Leonard? Well, they already got LaMarcus Aldridge there, Danny Green there. Yeah, they're going to have to replace Tony Parker.
They're going to need Kyle guy. Anderson, UCLA, shout out. He can handle the rock.
Oh, yeah, he can. But, I mean, you know, it's a guard-heavy league now. They're going to need somebody who is similar to Tony Parker, who can run the offense but can create his own shot as well. Maybe we can get your boy D'Angelo Russell, y'all, if y'all don't want him still.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, if he drops in the draft, the cat I was talking about from Providence, Chris Dunn, if y'all get him, y'all good.
Yeah.
That fool's a beast.
Like, they've proven right now that they can get guys in free agency. They're always going to look for guys in the draft. So, I mean, once, you know, Duncan's done and, you know, they've had 20-some-odd seasons of making the playoffs and going far. No, they can find – they've been proven with Buford and them to find some late round gems.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they'll go that route. But, you know, they'll sneak a free agent or two, specifically at the point and probably, you know, free agency to getting the big or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still talking about looking at Al Horford.
We'll see.
Yeah. As far as this your team – the COD, I will say this, for the four-year dudes, they front line crazy.
Yep.
I mean, you got Duncan, you got David Robinson, you got Patrick Ewing.
That's David all you West, need right there.
Kenya Martin, Danny Manning. You know, you got, of course, you got Redick and Nash. Backcourt, mm-hmm. That's nice, but they front court dominant. The one and done ain't bad.
Now, the one and done's ain't bad.
John Wall, Mike Conley, Kyrie Irving.
Steph Marbury.
Yeah. Eric Bledsoe.
Chris Bosh.
You know, DeMar DeRozan.
Kevin Love.
Gavin. Yeah, I mean, you got, for bigs, I mean, you got Bosh, you got Cousins, Kevin Love. You know, they got enough wings and small players to probably handle the four-year. You know, I don't know, four-year got a lot of they got a lot of guys who can just play.
Yeah, who can just ball.
Yeah, who can make, you know, smart decisions. One and done got a lot of ball hogs.
And,
well, you got Durant and Carmelo. I mean, ain't nobody else need to shoot.
Yeah, and John Wall, you know, going to want to get his shots.
John Wall, Eric Bledsoe going to want shots.
Russell Westbrook for sure going to want his shots.
Yep, and he ain't even on the team. I was like, oh.
Bailey, you left your boy off?
You left UCLA on the team?
I'm like, that's too many damn shots. That's why.
Because yeah. He was one and done, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
The high was school, he? Bailey, you got to let me know. He might have been a sophomore.
He might have been a two-year dude.
Yeah.
Hey. In high school, Kobe, LeBron, Garnett, Howard, and Jonathan Brendan on the bench.
Set him down.
Yeah. Amari.
Harrington, he's all right.
You get Amari pre-injury?
Yeah, that's what I need, pre-injury Amari.
Yeah, T-Mac.
Yeah, T-Mizzle? I'm talking about Orlando T-Mac.
Yeah.
Give me that T-Mac.
And if you're getting, you know, first time around at Dallas, Tyson Chandler, or, you know, the pre-Pelican New Orleans Tyson Chandler, I'm with that. Out of that, though,
Every Curry ain't never seen the floor.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough.
Well, I'm not taking the high schoolers. I'm sorry. They're just not deep enough.
Yeah.
They're not deep enough. I mean, they got great names. Like I said, to start off hot, you got Kobe, Dwight, LeBron.
Garnett.
You know, Garnett. But after that, it kind of feels. I mean, his next one after that was Jonathan Bender. Like, oh, come on.
Yeah, he needed to be at the bottom.
He already went. It went. The stock was going up. Oh, plummet.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much going to play Kobe, LeBron, Garnett, Dwight, right. Monte Ellis, T-Mac, Amari. I mean, it's not bad.
Bad, but it's not deep. It ain't deep enough for me.
I don't think the high schoolers may beat the one and done. One and done is not. I mean, Derrick Rose on the squad.
One and done, I might have to take. I mean, we got to talk now. We talking about one and done. You talking pre-injury Derrick Rose.
Yep.
So, you know.
They are guard dominant.
But they got some nice bigs.
Yeah, and the fact that you can, you know, and you know, we're going to get into this soon with this all these errors and whatnot.
The thing I do like about the one and dones is, like, all those dudes pretty much can be playmakers.
Yeah.
All of them seem to be able to set dudes up, even the bigs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is a good passer.
Kevin Love.
Love is a very good passer. Bosh is a pretty good passer.
You got Durant and Melo can play the four.
Only issue I got with the one and dones is defense in the front court is it ain't great.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a guy and there's nobody who you would be like, he might be a stopper. Like a high school, Kobe can play D, LeBron Garnett. Can play D, Garnett, Dwight Howard can play D.
That's what I'm saying.
Chandler can play D. So they may.
And Amari can play a little.
Yeah. High schoolers will have a defensive edge for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But that's a lot of scoring punch.
They ain't stopping them on the offensive end.
Yeah. As far as a 4-year, they don't have enough. Well, the team you said, they just don't have enough shooters.
Yeah.
But they would.
They would kill them inside, though.
Yeah, they would just throw it down low. You ain't stopping it. You'd end up fouling out. That's how they would beat you. You just like, you fouling out because you can't. I mean, come on.
They're just too big.
Duncan, Ewing.
That, you know what? The one and done.
And David Robinson. I mean, damn.
The 4 years, that would be a great battle because it's a hell of an offense against a great defensive team.
Yeah.
Oof. That'd be a battle. But I think I'd go with the one and done.
Yeah. And now with all the list, I was like, you know what? And now to all these, you might have like the guys that leave off sophomore, junior year, and actually beat all of them. I'm trying to think of guys who ain't mentioned on this list. And there's been a lot of like guys who left after sophomore, junior year who kill. Like you ain't, I mean, because the 4 year, you didn't put Bird on there. So I don't know Bird finished all four. I think he did, you know, but Magic ain't on there.
Didn't Magic come out of his junior year?
I think Magic left his sophomore.
Mm.
I mean, you ain't got, you know, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry.
James Worthy a senior.
I think James Worthy was a senior, yeah. Yeah, I know he named some dudes. I don't look at them 2-3 year dudes. Because those dudes usually have enough experience or you played enough, but you don't need to stay the full 4 years.
Could have threw Andre Miller on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that was a good list, man.
That was great. Thanks, Baylor.
For sure. Right back at you because he did send us his thoughts regarding our last show.
All right.
Brothers, 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 this is BTG. I listened to the last episode, and I loved it. I love every piece of it. But there's some things that I just have to touch on. I just have to do that.
Please,
first,
please.
Let's get this out the way. D'Angelo Russell, you stay in the Staples Center. You don't come out. Since you want to be childish, you stay in there until goddamn Halloween night. Bring your childish ass on out, get some candy, and then take your ass right back up in there. And you want to know what you need to be doing? I don't give a shit what event it is. I don't care if Kendrick Lamar performed. I don't care if the Kings is playing. You stay your ass in there, and you need to be working on can you guys forgive me type of moves. Okay? That's my message. Now, let's get on to the Scotty comment. Mm. Yes, I rose with him. Everybody knows that I'm a Scotty fan, and I love me some Magic. Okay? Those are my two top players of all time. Now, Jay, you of all people should be siding with that man. You want to know why? Well, first of all, you're forgetting three hidden characters. That's the key element to them whooping they ass. One is Dennis Rodman. I dare you grab a rebound. Go ahead. I double dog dare you to grab a rebound. The second one is Kukoc, Swiss Army Knife. I mean, this is a three that could play the four or the four that could play the three. All right? One important thing that we have to realize is that Golden State has to play defense, too. This is not all about Chicago playing defense against the two light-skinned niggas. And what have we forgot? Historically, light-skinned people are scared of dark-skinned people. So that eliminates Curry and Clay guarding Jordan, period. Because it's historically, that's facts. I got that from the IDS sources, that light-skinned people are scared of dark-skinned people. So that eliminates everything. And then we're talking about Michael Jordan. I'm not even going to get to Scottie and the role players yet. We're talking about Michael Jordan, arguably one of the best players that God has ever created. And let me tell you how good that creation is. Even some atheists believe in God just to believe that he was the best creation ever created. So that right there alone, fellas, should let you know that, yeah, a 4-0 is very highly possible. Highly possible, because they're not winning the game in Chicago. They're not winning the game in Chicago. And look, don't let it be cold. They not even getting off the damn plane in Chicago. Okay? The next thing is, let's talk about their home games. Okay, they're going to have a game or two in Golden State. I just don't see it, Jay. I just don't see it. And you know what? I realize why we might side, or why y'all might side with Golden State just a little bit for a game or two. We feel guilty. We feel guilty that we might sound like the dinosaur or the old grumpy man peeking through the blinds telling kids to get off our lawn. I get it. I get it. But you got to understand the rules has changed, Jay. And Chris, you should know this. Jay, you should know this. Bro, respect and love where we came from. We was born and raised in the golden era of hip hop and the golden era of basketball. I mean, the 80s and the 90s can argue about who is the best, but that should tell you alone how powerful the game was back then. It's the golden era, Jay. Look at the players that came through. Look at them. Go ahead. I'll wait. I can't that long because it was a voicemail. So just go ahead and look at those players, and then you size them up against the players of today's league. Bro, it's no match. It's no match. Like, I go back and I watch vintage games just to get that feeling back. Like, Chicago never swept anybody in the playoffs, right? Well, nigga, look at the teams that they played. Those teams that they played were good. That Pacers team was tough. The Knicks, Miami, we had some strong squads. Don't even come west. Don't even think about it. Utah, smack the shit out of them boys. The lockout Spurs. Look, I'm not even throwing no shade at that championship. I might be just a little bit, but the lockout Spurs, go ahead and look at that roster. Go ahead and look at that roster and put them up
against Golden
State. The Cavs team that played Golden State in the championship, they had two players that wasn't there, okay? They had two key players that wasn't there. Even LeBron being the best player that he is, and Dellavedova did what he could do, I mean, they held their own. That Cavaliers team don't stand a chance against any of these 90s teams, let alone the early 2000 teams. Don't bring up my 2001 Lakers. We wouldn't even 4-0. We'll 3-0 sweep them, and then they'll just be like, fuck game four. Forget that. So that's all I'm saying. It's the golden era, fellas. I mean, we can go – this can go on and on and on and how I feel that GSW don't stand a chance, but look. I'm simply saying that I'm riding with Scotty on this one. D'Angelo Russell, you stay your goddamn ass in the Staples Center. You don't bring your goddamn ass out. And for the employees that work at the Staples Center, make sure his little ass don't get out. And shout out to my show that's inside of a show, Why Not Podcast, BTG Thoughts. Go check that out. I need a sponsor. So if anybody in Louisville can go find those strippers, find out what club they work for, and please let them know that I need a sponsor, maybe a lap dance. Yo, it's BTG. Those are my thoughts on the Brothers Show, and I'm out.
All right.
Appreciate that, BTG. Yeah, shout out to BTG. I peeped out that Baylor's Thoughts, Volume 1.
No, that was good, man.
Shout out to Teddy G on the Why Not Podcast. Man. Yeah, I mean,
he finally got his own little, he got a segment.
Absolutely. Yeah, Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it was.
Join the club, brother.
It was needed. All right, we're going to get into them, but before we do that, let me just give some, let's get him some love before we get into this debate thing. All right. Damn. These fools on Wednesday have a chance to break this record. Nobody. When even on Hoopla and all that, when everybody's all these things of records that would not be broken, this was one of them.
Yep.
Like, and it's funny. 72 games.
We always bitched and moaned because early in the season, they'd be like, oh, they on pace to break the record. And you would hear it every season, it seemed. Like, they on pace to break the record. And it never seemed feasible for any of the teams. But to actually see this team tie the record,
yes,
at the very minimum tie it, is incredible to see. It really is. It is incredible to see. I am not going to sit here and be one of these old, you know, these old dinosaurs who's just like, well, it wasn't back in with the 90s rules and all that. I'm like, look, you gotta do what you gotta do within the rules, within the time you're playing. You know, they didn't change the rules. You know, the NBA came up with all of this and all the rule changes and all that stuff. So you got to play within the rules that you're given. Mm-hmm. I can't knock them for that. They've done what they have done. They have lost only 9 games all season. That is a hell of a fucking accomplishment considering you're playing 82 games to only lose 9 times.
And never lost back-to-back at all.
Never lose a back-to-back. And the type of game they play, being that they're a shooting team, it does make it impressive. Because on any given night, as a shooter, as all shooters know, you can be hot or cold. You never know what you're going to be. You can be on or you could be off, completely off. We've seen it all the time with great shooters who have just had great games where they're hitting nonstop. Steph Curry, prime example this season. We've seen him hit games where he's just going dumb. And then next thing you know, we saw a little stretch where he was going like 1-for-10 from 3 and not really hitting like that. I mean, it happens with shooters. But the fact that they are basically a shooting team, they pretty much play small ball all the time, and they're doing what they're doing, it's amazing. It really is. So my tip my hat to them. You know, it is what it is, and, you know, shout out to them. But as we talked about on Twitter, if they don't get that chip, it don't matter.
Right. Now, guys are comparing this team to, like, nobody. See, the thing, guys ain't comparing this team to strictly that Bulls season. You're not looking at the Bulls team and being like, well, this 95-96 Bulls team. You're thinking of the Bulls team that three-peated.
Yes.
So we can say, you know, if the Warriors pull it all off, which they, you know, at this point, they are the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mr. King himself, LeBron James, who people never picked against, they going to pick Golden State against Cleveland. Everybody's picking whatever they play. Golden State is the favorite, as they should.
Yes, they've earned that right.
You know, and if they win it all, I'm not going to be like, you know what? They better than the Bulls team. I don't know yet. All I know is they'll have back-to-back championships.
Yep.
Everybody, after they won, everybody was talking shit.
Yep.
Mad shit. I still remember the show. Shout out to Mama G. Was like, even a dog, even the shine shone on a dog ass every now and then, like, goddamn. And then they come back, and then, you know, if you want to get mad, you know, Scottie Pippen getting in his feelings, get mad at everybody, get mad at Doc Rivers, all these people who were like, y'all ain't win, no, y'all ain't play nobody. I don't really believe y'all that good.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, we ain't that good? Okay, guess what? We about to break the fucking Bulls record. What? We going to smash on y'all. We going to play great defense, which then people still don't give them credit for. We going to play great defense. We going to lock you down, and we putting up 70 in the motherfucking quarter.
I mean, you got to respect them. If you didn't believe last year, you got to believe this year. You have to. Yeah. I mean, the proof is just there.
Yeah,
they're kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah, and I'm watching them play my Spurs team who, you know, they got the hardest damn right. We got to play Oklahoma City after this. I mean, come on. But, you know, we go to the two, as Baylor said, the two light-skinned butter cookies. But, I mean, look, Draymond Green gets it done. Dude is the heart of their team. Guy can run the offense, wouldn't he? He can bring the ball up. He can hit threes. He can grab rebounds. He's a triple-double machine.
Yep.
Harrison Barnes, when he is locked in, will frustrate the fuck out of you.
Yes.
Because you'll be like, okay, we got him. And Harrison Barnes is that dude. Whenever they need a bucket, he gets him a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost like that. He's that jab that just be – he's the body shot that he just be wearing you out. Just when you think you got him, it's like, God, this thing can keep making shot after shot. And all of a sudden, Steph Curry come in and close the door.
And I will throw this caveat out there because we talked about this, I think, the beginning of the season. When Harrison Barnes turned down that contract, we called it dumb. Looking back now, it's probably a very smart decision on his part. He bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it looks, once he hit free agency, man, he's going to get paid max dollars. And I'm curious. I am curious to see what Harrison Barnes could do being either number one or number two guy on a team. Because it seems like he got the skill.
Mm-hmm.
He got the talent. It's just he doesn't have the opportunities to really shine, you know, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I'm curious. So I will I'm a eat crow. I said him turning down a contract was stupid, but it was not. That boy has made himself some extra money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's played himself and just, you know, continues to get better.
Yeah.
So it don't hurt. And, you know, he waited a year, and, of course, he can get a little more money.
Yep,
but, I absolutely. Mean, yeah, and his team is deep.
Yep.
I mean, if you need to go, but you got Sean Livingston. Who can run point if you want to slide Curry over? He's big.
Got Barbosa.
Yep. He can post, you know, if you got a small dude on him, he's posting you up.
Yep.
Barbosa's quick and give you quick points and buckets. Brandon Rush hadn't been that bad.
Nope.
You know, so they backcourt there. You know, interchangeable places like a motherfucker. They got like eight dudes between 6'6 and 6'10, it feel like.
You got Iguodala.
Yep, Iguodala, who was, you know, a number one guy in his own right.
Got Maurice Spates.
Yeah, Mo Spates comes in. Or if you want an offensive big, he comes in hitting jumpers. You know,
don't
you
forget about Festa Azili.
Yeah, Festa Azili and Bogut. Right there, Bogut's a veteran dude. You know, Festa Azili's a little bit quicker, but he's a shot blocker athletic. As well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they deep. And then whatever,
they
you know.
Still, and they got Kevin Looney on the bench.
Yeah, if you need to go big, they can play big. If they, you know, they can go small. I mean, you know, they are very versatile and tough to beat.
Yep.
So, and they may finish, you know, Memphis has a little something to play for. You know, but it feels like it's right there for the taking. They want it. I'm not mad at them for, you know, supposedly not getting rested. You know, they can play limited minutes. They can do what everybody did pre-Greg Popovich, which is just limit the guy's minutes. You ain't got to sit him out the game. You just let him play 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, oh, they got a big lead. They up 20. Okay, you can sit down. You know, but they're going for the record, so.
Let's call it now. Are they going to do it?
It feel like it. It really feel like it. I know Memphis might be playing for some, but I think at this point they locked into the five spot, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to stay, you know, I would trade in the damn 73 record for the ring. Mm. Anybody would. You're like, fuck a record. Give me that ring. The ring, the record I want. You know, because if you get back-to-back championships, what's somebody going to say? Your last year was a fluke.
Yep.
You know, same thing with the Rockets. It's like, oh, well, they won that first, that one time, no. And they came back like, okay, well, shut up.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look at Memphis. Oof, Memphis fell to six. So, yeah, depending on the play, they, you know, a couple days, they may play for something. You know, they're going to play hard for sure.
Yeah.
Grind it out. It just feels like Golden State going to do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And in all honesty, regardless if they break the record or not, I'm still wouldn't pick them over the Bulls. I don't give a damn.
Nope.
Because I'm sorry. Shout out to whoever created that Bulls mixtape, that 95-96 mixtape that just showed all the highlights from that year. That made my day, man. I watched it yesterday, and I was just like, God damn, I miss old school basketball.
Yeah, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we spoke on Pippen. I already seen the Pippen shirt with his little 72-10 comment. The only thing is it don't matter if you ain't got the ring or whatever.
It's the truth.
Yeah. I mean, it just.
Is the truth?
You know, he came out just like.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I mean, that's how people feel about the Bulls. I mean, we had Barkley on here who was like, oh, the Warriors will win in one game. I'm like, okay, Jarbo, like your best friend, Michael Jordan. When are you ever going to not. When are you going to pick against Michael Jordan? Not never.
Now, watching those clips again, though, did make me kind of think, like, damn, this Bulls team would whoop they ass though, like, oof, God, they were just watching some of the plays they did. I'm like, the stuff the Warriors doing, the Bulls are doing that already. Like these behind the back passes, juking cats with crossovers. I'm like, your damn coach was doing that with the Bulls. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. You know, cool, as Baylor said, cool coach. I mean, the highlights, they showed Scotty Yaman on like 25 people. Like, it was it was ridiculous. And then showing Jordan coming out of nowhere swatting shots, Scotty coming out of nowhere swatting shots, Dennis Rodman doing his thing, showing and even giving Luke Longley some love. It was just, it was cool coach was throwing dimes. I mean, it was that team is sickening.
Yeah, and I mean, it always depends on, because these are error things. And are we treating it like a regular season where they've played each other at least twice? So they're like, okay, I'm familiar. Okay, I played against you. I seen what worked, what doesn't a little bit. You know, are we giving them that, or is it just like, hey, let's just throw these two teams together and see what happens?
And looking at that mixtape, I saw at least six or seven plays, maybe more. When I was looking at the play, I'm like, in today's league, that shit would have been a foul easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just the difference in physicality, and you're just like, God damn, all them plays would be fouls nowadays. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I've heard people say, you know, this Golden State team plays hard. They ain't no punks.
No, they're not.
It's just, you know, you play in an era where you can't be overly physical like that. I mean, if you put them in with them rules, I believe they'd adjust to them.
They could adjust to them.
And they're versatile enough, you know, but the thing is, like, are you putting Dennis Rodman in that center? I mean, yes, you can put him against Draymond. He would give Draymond Green some issues. Him going to be bothered, you know, but at the same token, you know, Draymond Green going to pull him out.
Well, that's, you know, if Draymond Green can handle his temper.
I mean, it would be testing. He would need to.
We all remember him and Malone battling.
Oh yeah, but you know they're not gonna let Draymond fully go at him. But I'm saying
each other like 25 times.
But if this is your main rebounder, you pull him out of the box. I mean, if he's going, what's he going to do? He's going to let Draymond Green shoot. Draymond Green going to shoot.
And still, they still have the size. Pippen grabbing a rebound. He's what, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah. You put
Von Harper was like 6'6". Jordan 6'6".
But I'm saying, but you know, I would pick.
And if you throw Longley out, I mean, Tony Kukoc, he's 6'10". I mean, you're still getting boards. It don't matter.
But, you know, but then they, you know, that's the thing they match up with too. Like, oh, you going 6'8"? We got 6'8". Here we go.
God, and just seeing Mike palm the ball and how he would juke cats.
Right.
Just, I got the ball right here. Nope, I ain't doing that. Just, oh my God.
Yeah, plus you could say that team, I mean, Jordan was in his prime. Pippen was in his prime. I mean, he had dudes that were in their prime. I don't know Steph Curry in his prime yet.
Steph Curry is in his prime. Yes, he is. I think this year started the beginning of his prime, yeah. I believe.
And you got Klay Thompson, who ain't.
Because he's about 27 years old.
Yeah, so he's in his window.
In his prime right now. Klay Thompson, to me, will be in his prime like next year or the year after. Like his prime years.
Yeah, they got that youth factor. But yeah, I wouldn't just be like,
but I'm going with the
Bulls.
I'm not
laying like, oh, these niggas would just, you know, oh, going barbecue chicken. Like, I ain't going that far. But I would pick the Bulls, and
I'm not going seven because Jordan.
No, I'm not going seven. It'd be like 5 or 6.
Jordan never goes seven. Exactly. You on that Barkley. I'll give him 5.
Yeah, but he's like, they can win a game. I'm like, they can win a game. You know,
they'll win a game. Yeah, they'll win a game.
Right. But you can't, you know, they're not going to be, you know, favored. You know, of course, if you say like, well, I think you tell the Michael Jordan that you think he's going to say going to be whooping on him, he'd be like, what?
I mean, Jordan would drop 80 on him. Like, it'd be ridiculous. And their coach would just be shooting threes on him too. Struck him. Like, it'd be beautiful. Judd Bushler, Randy Brown. Keep going. Bill Whittington, where they at? Where Jason Caffey at?
Yeah. You know, but now as far as team records, now you can look, when you see the record, you do see that the Bulls a year after won 69 games.
I mean,
that particular team was the shit.
It was unreal.
Right, but then when you comparing errors, I'm like, well, you can't forget the team that they beat for that record. You know, and you know, if you're going to give Jerry West an actual three-pointer, Because they weren't really shooting three. You know, three-pointer was fairly – I don't even – was it even around?
I think so.
And if it was, it was still new.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to give me Wilt Baylor, Jerry West, I mean, that ain't no slouch team neither.
Or neither is Showtime.
That's what I'm saying. You can't be like, oh, well, you know, you giving me prime Wilt. Who are you talking about? Dennis Rodman and Bill Whittington going to stop fucking Wilt the Stilt? That would be a straight up like Jordan getting the rock, he score. Wilt getting the rock, he's, and it would just be like, all right, who getting the 71st? You would be like, these niggas can't brick. They ain't missing nothing.
Yeah,
you know Jerry West popping shit from every damn where. Elgin Baylor, and I mean what? Then you gonna throw in the, you know, all these arguments. You gonna throw in the 60 Celtics who was deep as hell. You know all the era things. It sounds great. I would love to see it, but right now. You know, like I said on Twitter, they need to have a window of success. Like, I can't fully judge this Warrior team just off this season before the playoffs have happened.
Now,
you know, if they end up three-peating, you know, becoming one of those teams, you know, then you can't just brush them off like that.
Well, I'm not brushing them off, but God, that Bulls team was just so beastly.
They were. That team was beastly.
That team was fucking sick. And like Baylor said, looking at the competition they played against, man, half these teams wouldn't cut it in the old school league.
Like, no, because they don't play like that. But on the other thing, though, if these guys are coming in bigger, stronger, faster, and you give them the same physicality rules, they may be fucking some dudes up. You probably have a lot more injuries, though, because you'd have more high flying and motherfuckers would just be like, nope, I'm putting you on your ass.
Oh, bridging and yes. Oh, man. Yeah, I guess. Well, shout out to Golden State.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, shit, I don't want to see them win just because I think my team can beat them. But, you know, if they get it, I ain't, man. Hey, if they win again, good for them. You know, man, I'd rather see Steph Curry get his second ring than LeBron get his third. That's just me, though. Sorry, Steph. That's just me, though.
I'd rather see Derrick Rose get his first. Oh, we're not in the playoffs. Never mind.
We're going to get to your team. We're going to talk about these.
For what? These playoffs. For what? We're really going to waste time?
Oh, man. It's all right, man. Hey, I feel you.
Son of a bitch! You know, ain't no need to waste time on my Bulls for what? Like Pal said, we didn't play hard. We ain't no urgency, period.
All right, well, let's talk about, you know, the other game that's the highlight for Wednesday. Mr. Kobe Bean Bryant, final game.
Kobe Bean.
Yep, I totally wish I had bought them tickets.
They're like $5 million now.
Yeah. It's on the thing that StubHub average ticket price is $971. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, I wish I would have bought them shits beginning of the season because I'd have sold them now.
Oh, yeah. I'd be selling them shits right now because I'm watching. Like, you know, for Golden State, really, it's just are they gonna win or not? All that matters is what happens at the end. This game. You know, Utah right now, they out. They tied with Houston.
Yeah, Dallas won.
Yeah, they tied with Houston, but they are out of it right now. So that game means something. And I do believe the Lakers, although they got their ass whooped tonight.
Oh, what was the score?
Oh, the score, they lost 112-79.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, Baylor.
They got smashed on. Shout out to your spirit. Your boy had his 18th triple-double. 13 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists.
Is that tie magic?
That tie is magic, yep.
Good for him, man. Yeah. Good for him.
He going to go for the record, not against us.
Yeah, that's another.
Nope. Neither one of y'all niggas ain't letting two records happen on us. Shit.
Oh, shit. But for the Lakers, yeah, Kobe Bean, last game. What can I say, man? I mean, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor to watch Kobe play all these years. Shit, I remember when he came in the league and it was the whole airballing against Utah. We all remember.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just watching the kid grow, you know, seeing all his different fucking hairstyles, afro, and then with bald, and then whatever. But, I mean, just watching the kid grind and grow up from a high school kid and really, I mean, you really saw this kid was the closest thing to Jordan we've seen. Well, I mean, clearly he idolized Jordan and mimicked himself after Jordan in basically every way. Even it seemed like damn near down to the personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but just you really, I mean, on the court, regardless of how I feel about Kobe off court, you know, we all know how I feel about him off the court, but on the court, I mean, clearly you could just see how much work this man put in to be great at mm-hmm. what he did. And I respect the hell out of Kobe. I may not like him personally, but I respect the hell out of Kobe. He does what he does. He puts in the work. He's all about winning. And he plays with that fire, that hunger, that attitude, that competitive fire that I'm used to seeing with a lot of the old school cats. He's the last of a dying breed. He will be missed in the game of basketball. I think there's no question about that. The Laker organization is going to miss him. I don't think it's going to be as easy as people are making it sound to just pass a torch on to somebody else, which is why I think Kobe has always kind of had the mindset that shit is earned, not passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, I mean, he even said he had to earn it. It wasn't like, you know, Jordan was just like, oh, I see you like playing how I play. I'm going to pass the torch on to you. Like, no, he had to earn that right. He had to earn that from all them old school cats. I mean, he came in an era with the old school players.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat up a little bit. He played in the physical when the rules were still physical. So, he got his fair share of getting beat up a little bit. And, I mean, he's transitioned, and he was able to translate his game as the rules win. And the kid is great. I mean, he got, what, 5 rings? You know, arguably one of the best shooting guards of all time. You could argue, some will argue, the best Laker of all time.
Yeah.
He's going to get a statue at some point in front of Staples.
Of course he is. Oh, yeah, he's put his mark on the game. I mean, his will to win was crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like me, being a Spurs fan, I mean, that was the rival. When I think of Kobe Bryant and them Lakers, and you're like, who was the team that bothered him that much? It was the Spurs. Because, I mean, Duncan got 5, he got 5. And he played, you know, 20 years. So, I mean, you know, this team, they've always had to battle. You know, Kobe Bryant was that dude in the clutch. I saw the little video that Kendrick Lamar did about him, showing highlights. I mean, where he was just dunking on Steve Nash, of course, 81 point, you know, the little game winner when he was playing Phoenix in the playoffs. I said the overtime versus Indiana. I mean, he was the closer.
Mm-hmm. He was getting the ball.
Mm-hmm. He was making the shots that Steph Curry was making now. He was like, why are you shooting that? Oh, okay. Never mind then. It went in. I mean, this dude's a winner. He all about winning. And, you know, you got to respect that. And that dude was just, he's like, fuck. I mean, if you had your team going against him, you just like, if he feeling it, you're like, fuck, get it out of his hand.
Yep.
Make somebody else beat you.
Nothing else you can do. Nothing you can do.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he will be missed. I mean, I'll be watching the game. I'm sure we'll have, you know, a full breakdown or more to say once, you know, that season's over with. We can take more time to get into it. But since we own the Lakers, I mean, I've already had Byron Scott, who was like, he really wished Kobe would have been able to gone out with basically a better team. You know, Kobe's let it be known. I mean, he basically was like, well, this season's a wash. And I'm going to just let that competitive fire cool down a bit and have some fun.
Yep.
You know, this team, this franchise is going to need some, it's going to need some work. I mean, they get blown out. I mean, Houston kicked their ass earlier. I mean, damn. This has been a long time. I'm happy that he was able to get to this point and stayed healthy. Because the last few years, he just couldn't finish.
Yeah, I'm glad he was able to make it through the season.
And his body was just like, yeah, that's it. You've been Iron Man for so long, not no more.
Yeah. I mean, we all know he's going to get the cheer of a lifetime on Wednesday.
Oh, he's going to get the serious montage. All the Lake of Grace is going to be there.
Before and after the game. Event. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, all the stars gonna be there. Yeah, that's Jack the hottest Nicholson. Ticket. That is the hot ticket in LA on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, Jack Nicholson ain't really been at the games this season.
He gonna be there. Last
season. Oh yeah, his seat. People gonna be like, "Where Jack? We know where Jack at."
Reserved. Don't worry, I'm there. I'm sure Chick Hearn will be there in spirit.
Yeah, I mean the Lakers. I would expect. Now, they've been getting their ass kicked all season and lately. I expect this team to bring some serious effort in this game. Because Utah trying to win. Utah playing for us. They're not going to be like, well, it's Kobe game. You know, let's just sit back and awe him. They like, nigga, we trying to get in the playoffs. Fuck your send-off.
You know? Agreed.
And I think the Lakers... I hope that these young dudes are like, look, this is it. This Kobe Knight, Anderson Nemesis in, you know, Utah and that franchise. Let's bring it and win for Kobe. Bring the effort on defense, all of that. That's everything you ain't been doing all season. At least do it for Wednesday.
And I mean, I don't want to compare it to the Broncos winning the Super Bowl for Peyton. But, I mean, in the aspect in terms of just leaving everything out there on the court, all the blood, sweat, just leaving it out on the field for that one person so they can at least leave on some type of success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is important. So I would hope, like you said, I would hope this young group gets that and understands the type of legacy this man has, and that you at least want to leave it on a positive note.
Yeah.
So I would hope these kids are going to play hard. But again, I don't know. The way the NBA is these days, I don't know. These kids very well could be like, you know what, it's Kobe's last game. Thank fucking God.
Yeah, I mean, what you really going to get for these young dudes is really a taste of what this Laker organization was about and is in its heart, in its core. You're going to see the old vets, all of that. Them banners is going to be shining bright.
Yep.
And all everybody going to be in the house packed. Like, oh, yes, nigga, this is what it was like when the Lakers is winning. What you going to do to get there like that?
That's what it feels like.
Because, I mean.
That's what it's like to be a Laker.
Because Nick Young ain't playing. Nope. You know, he done checked out.
Nope.
And, I mean, next season, you don't know. Because we already hearing, you know, Phil wants out badly.
What did I say? I told you. Broke down this whole damn thing. Phil's going to end up leaving. Jeannie's going to fire Jim. Phil's taking his place.
Yeah, that's what we said.
We know that. We knew that. This is old news.
This nigga, but I'm sorry. If he's really considering Kurt Rambis as head coach, nigga, don't. I'm not a Laker fan, but if I was, I don't want you as my GM. You did a great job as a coach. I appreciate all the championships. Hey, that's great. No, you can't be the goddamn GM. No, you cannot.
Right. He going to bring Kurt Rambis to be the head coach of the Lakers.
Well, we got. Because I hate when he's like, what he done. Look, and I've given him props, but you're going to, if all you're going to keep saying of what he done is, well, he drafted Porzingis.
Like, yeah, don't get that.
He was fourth. All the dudes was gone. Jeez, you know, like, if he was picking second or third and was like, I'm taking Porzingis over D'Angelo Russell. and he balled. Okay, yeah, then I will give you some credit.
Well, at the time, just to be fair, at the time, a lot of people were like, Justice Winslow should have went before, ahead of Porzingis.
They did. And I wasn't either. But to be fair, when I heard that.
People talking about Moutier.
Yeah, but they were dudes who were like, he could go as high as 2. I was like, okay. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, like, okay, one draft make a nigga, okay. Hey, all right, Lakers, go ahead, go right on ahead, get you some Phil Jackson, fine with me, go get you some Phil, do that. Help us, Spurs, we can continue to win some championships, y'all can continue to suck. So I'm fine with that. Speaking of draft, we already seen Brandon Ingram is declaring for the draft.
Of course he is.
Later.
Been Dunn's all day.
And was just with this Don Maker. Now I read that he's 19, so he feels that qualification. And I guess he did some post high school work. I guess he technically graduated last year, but I don't know.
It does say. I mean, now from what I understand, the rules to be, you just have to be 1 year removed from high school.
Yes. You have to be 19
and 1 year removed from high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's 19.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've read, he's been removed from high school for a year.
Yeah, he's done some post work, but I guess he's technically graduated.
I don't see the problem.
No. Now they have to determine if he actually, I ain't seen the nigga diploma or nothing. But if do they count it as him actually graduating from high school last year? It's iffy. It is iffy. I mean, it sounds like what? If he missed, okay, well, better figure something out because you'll be number one pick. Don't matter. Go overseas or something. But, you know, and all, it'll shake some stuff up. But, the Players Association is trying to get all that taken out of anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay. It's interesting. So we still hitting on this NBA. Other big news. Sam Hinkie, Philadelphia Sixers, president of B-ball operations, stepped down due to organizational changes.
Which means we were done.
Yep. And then we bringing in, Jerry brings in his son, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you brought in
Jerry Colangelo,
you kind of knew. Yeah. Kind of saw the writing on the wall at that point.
Yeah, no, I saw with Hinkie, and from what I've read, he, you know, was kind of real standoffish, you know, kept things real close to the vest, didn't really get along with agents, didn't ever really explain his philosophy to, you know, the fans or whatnot. It's like, this is what we're doing, but never really, like, fully elaborated on it. So I know some of this was his doing, but he done hooked that team up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I read the trade with Vucevic and on him was not him. That was the guy beforehand. So I was like,
DeFilippo or.
Yeah. I can't do his name, but I was like, okay, so that wasn't him. Okay. So he took that over. And I mean, we said with the draft,
Had a string of bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, he flipped Drew Holiday, who right now has been injury prone, ain't really done nothing.
If you're looking back at it, that trade kind of worked out for Philly.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in that draft, I think he got Michael Carter-Williams, who he done flipped then. I mean, and at the time, people were like, why are you trading Michael Carter-Williams?
And now, that was Michael Carter-Williams doing.
Yeah, now you're like, smart move.
I mean, look.
You know, he's left the team with talent and a gang of picks.
Well, according to most people, I felt like for a while I was the only person who's giving them any kind of support. Like, I didn't think what he was doing was the worst thing in the world. I mean, he was getting shitted on.
Yeah, his approach with it.
For me, I mean, yeah, it was more so his approach. But, I mean, I kind of saw what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt for him because things weren't working out the way they were supposed to. He was not supposed to draft Jahlil Okafor. If Embiid was healthy, he would have never drafted Okafor. They might not have been in that position to have that pick because they might have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just things didn't necessarily work out. And then Okafor ended up getting hurt.
Yeah. But Okafor was legitimately at some people were like, he was a number one pick.
And honestly, they probably didn't want Okafor. As much as Okafor didn't want to go to Philly, Philly probably didn't want him. They wanted D'Angelo Russell, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. That's what they were going to get.
That's who they wanted to take, and that was who they needed. And that would have been a great tandem with him and Nerlens Noel, but it didn't work out that way. So, again, I can't sit here and knock him, you know, completely. Did it work out? No. But I saw the plan he was trying to do, and everybody crapped on him for tanking and this and that. I'm like, you know, I didn't see it as necessarily tanking. I'm just like, look, the man is trying to basically start from scratch and rebuild the team over. It's going to take time. It's going to take a process. You know, he struck out on a few chances. I mean, but he also got some nice pieces. The ironic thing is, as much as people have been shitting on him all through these years in Philly, now that he's been fired, people are like, he's actually got something going for the next person who takes over. Like, oh my fucking, are you people serious right now?
Yeah.
Now y'all want to give him some praise?
Yeah, because when you think about it, he drafted a guy and they're like, okay, well, he's hurt. He's like, look, we going to suck. You know, we got Nerlens Noel. What? He automatically going to make us a 30-40 win team? Nope. We going to be bad.
And people forgetting when Nerlens Noel was coming out of Kentucky, he was raw.
Yeah.
But he's a straight defensive dude only.
But he was.
Who could dunk and was athletic.
But he was also picked to be possibly the number one pick in the draft.
And Before he got hurt, he was the number one dude.
Yeah, and then Joel Embiid was supposed to be the number one pick.
He's supposed to go to Cleveland.
Yeah, he was talked about as being the next great two-way big. I mean, he was supposed to come in and just kill. And he's just like, look, I'm drafting guys who are that, you know, potential is that high. And, you know, and it's just like with the Celtics or with the Lakers, do you draft enough good players, you can flip them. He can like, look, I got young talent, I got draft picks, and I got cap space.
Yep.
Hook me up. And, you know, I just think that he just couldn't really, if he just really elaborated and explained his plan, you know, like getting Saric. Like, we don't know about Saric because he ain't come over yet. But he's supposed to be really good.
He's supposed to come over next season.
Mm-hmm. Got Ish Smith, Robert Covington. I mean, he's got some young talent. So
he traded for Nick Stauskas.
Yep.
I mean, you got some talent on the team. They're just young players. There's no vets.
No. And, you know, I think, you know, that team will come and the Clanzos will come and fix it and do what they're supposed to do. Hinkie, I think he'll probably take some time off, but he's going to land somewhere. He'll be back again.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just do that, what you did, and just be like, you know what? Nobody wants to hire you. Somebody hiring your ass. Yeah. Brett Brown, great coach. He just, you know, now if he gets pizza and all of a sudden, he's, you know, the team plays well, then we can be like, oh, I guess he shouldn't. I guess we see why they gave him the extension.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was not shocking, but it was just like, damn. All right.
Yeah.
It felt bad. Shout out to I know they missed for this Hall of Fame class, 2016.
Hey, shout out.
I mean, it's a big headline with the Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal.
And the answer.
Mm-hmm. Allen Iverson. I mean, goddamn. Them Boom. Two alone. I mean, you also got Zelmo Beatty, Dale Garrettson, Tom Izzo, John
shout
McClendon.
Shout out to Tom.
Yeah, you know, he's going to get
it. Oh, John McClendon.
Yep. Cumberland Posey, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Cheryl Swoops. Look, I'm like, Cheryl Swoops got game.
Yeah. With the Houston Comets?
Yeah.
With her and Cynthia Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Balling.
Tina Thompson. They were like, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. Cheryl Swoops was like the female Jordan.
Yep.
Given all that. Of course, now, the big question with Yao Ming now.
Oh, and shout out to my Mr. Reinsdorf, owner of my Bulls and my White Sox. Holla.
Yeah, and now look, like, Yao Ming got nominated. It wasn't just, it was more so for what he's done for the sport.
He globalized the NBA. He really did help globalize the NBA.
It wasn't one of those, like, oh, it's just based off his play. Like, Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, it's based off your damn what you did on the court. Yao Ming, who, you know, could have been one of the best. We don't know.
He was dominant for a period.
Yeah. I mean, he 7'5", could block shots, had a nice jumper. Mm-hmm. You know, was one of them last real big men.
And he brought a huge Asian following.
Yeah, he's one of them Jesus that really Christ. Blew up international he basketball.
Did. He really did. That team with him and Stevie franchising them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they televised him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you had all of the Chinese were just watching him.
Yeah, the whole community. You got to really just, I mean, I've seen people, I haven't seen Chuck D. I've seen a lot of people who are just like, Yao Ming is kind of overshadowing this class. But
that's
like,
a me.
Yeah, the dude, like, look, he ain't bigger than AI and Shaq.
And Shaq, hell no.
Yeah, I mean, not even look, close. Like, yes, the folk in China are very happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Yao Ming, much respect. The dude had game, and he contributed greatly to this
got
game.
Hurt. Man,
yes.
Got hurt.
Yes, but if you're going to say who the two biggest names is AI and Shaq, period.
He's a period, point blank, man. Come on. I always still say, and I will take this to the grave, AI is still pound for pound. If we just talking pound for pound, best player I've ever seen.
That dude.
Just because as small as he was, shit.
He would go to the rack like he ain't care.
I mean, you talk about Kobe having a boatload of injuries. This nigga had a boatload of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And he would still play and still drop 35 on you. AI was a fucking beast.
He was, man.
Oh, these young kids don't know.
They know him because of that, bringing in that hip hop culture. With the well, they know him also. And all
from,
that.
From crossing up MJ.
Mm-hmm. That dude, he was nice. God, I remember him when he was at Georgetown. He was just nasty.
Oh, that's when you were at Hampton, huh?
Probably so. But he was still, you know, that's when Georgetown was still balling. You were like, this dude is killing.
The original Coach Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, he just came in the league and just
took like, over.
Wow. It's one of the dudes you would I hope.
Class was nasty.
Yeah, I would hope he'd get a ring. It was just his attitude. Just, you know, it helped him get where he needed to be, but damn, it kind of hurt him at the same time.
Yeah, it hurt him. It definitely did hurt him. But I mean, it also opened things up to just to some of the other African, you know, I want to say, to me, Allen Iverson made it okay to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of them things was like, you know, this is who I am. You're going to accept me for who I am or you're going to hate me.
Yep.
And he was hated. He was hated by many, but he was also loved by many as well. I mean, that boy, you talk about a kid, a boy that had heart, a player that had just heart. AI just had heart, man.
Yeah, he did, man. He played a lot of it. He gets a lot of love. So, yeah, I'm waiting to see them interviews. Not interviews.
I can't wait to hear Shaq's freaking speech.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to bring – I wonder who's going to
introduce him?
Yeah. Probably another Shaq, big man.
Who could I see introducing Shaq? You know what I could see them doing? Well, nah. Can it be anybody?
Yeah.
I know this may sound weird. Okay. I could see Kobe doing it. I'm just saying. Because of the event that it is. It's not your personal life. This is celebrating you as a player on the court, and our biggest memories of Shaq, some of our biggest memories of Shaq involve Kobe with him.
Mm.
They do. They're always going to be linked. And to
from yeah, well, what, yeah, they gonna, I know, gonna be linked.
I know they haven't completely squashed their beef, I'm sure.
Well, I mean,
but I think they're cordial to an extent with each other, to the point where I think you could have somebody like Kobe introduce him.
Okay.
I think, personally.
So I think you could. I don't want that. I would think more like, it'd have to be either somebody, to me, he had to be somebody that was real close to him. I can see, like, I can see a Dennis Scott. I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
It's either going to be a teammate that he was real cool with, or it's going to be somebody who was his mentor.
Yeah.
Somebody around like that. I can see like a Hakeem or Ewan or somebody like that. Like I can see another great big man introducing him. Or a teammate. Hey, man, shout out to Teddy. I'm going to be checking out that 30 for 30 on your squad come Thursday, talking about that Magic team with he and Penny.
With him, Penny, Dennis Scott, Nick Anderson. Fucking God, that team was sick. Horace Grant was on that team.
Scott Skiles
was on that team. That team was fucking nasty, man.
All they had to do was win. If they had gotten that ring, oh, my God.
Yep. It would have been a wrap. And I mean, as far as AI, Larry Brown.
Yeah, I can see Larry Brown.
Honestly, I could see John Thompson. Well, yeah, I could see John Thompson. I can see
Thompson. John Thompson too.
Doing it for him. Also, I could see one of his teammates, like an Eric Snow or like an Aaron McKee.
Mm-hmm.
Introduce somebody like AI. But personally, I truly think he would love to have Larry Brown introduce him. That was his dude.
Yeah. That might be cool.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to break, let me just do this real quick. I know it's about a few days away. So heading in the East, Cleveland Cavaliers have clinched the number one spot.
Whoopee fucking do.
Toronto's locked in at number two. Miami, oh God, and it's three through whatever, shit. Atlanta's three right now. Half game ahead of Miami. Miami is a half game ahead of Boston. Boston's fifth, tied with Charlotte. And then Pacers and Detroit are tied for seventh. And those teams are all in. We will get into probably in the next week or so, we can actually speak on all the teams in general, all our feelings, but I got just looking at right now, Bulls ain't make it, Wizards ain't make it, Bucks ain't make it. Very disappointing season for all of them.
Well, like Chris said, maybe next few episodes I'll really dive into my feelings about my Bulls. At least I can hold my hat on. We'll at least be 500. Way to go, Bulls!
Yeah, we're gonna leave. We'll talk about them and talk about what their futures hold and whatnot. Because that's all we got to talk about, because we can't talk about them doing the playoffs.
Exactly.
Golden State, clearly number one. They clinched number one seed. Spurs, number two, 65 wins. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City's third. They locked in. Clippers are fourth. They locked in. Let me get to Portland is fifth. They are a half game ahead of Memphis. Memphis is six right now. Dallas with the win today over Utah, I believe looks like they have clinched. They've clinched the spot. I think they clinched seventh, but they're in now. They clinched playoff spot. So the only remaining spot at all is right now Houston has it. And Houston has not clinched, and they are tied with Utah.
Oof.
Oof. Kings. Not even going to hit 35 wins. They're at 33 now. Jeez.
Keep on winning, baby.
Pelicans, 30 wins.
Damn.
Yo, Los Angeles Lakers, 16 wins.
Right oh, now. Damn.
And that percentage got a one in front of it.
Well, I know y'all happy. Y'all might keep y'all pick after all.
Yeah, they might. How's it looking?
There you go.
Oh, man, I can't wait for these playoffs.
Yep.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, hop into some more sports talk. You know how we do. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla!
sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
All right, y'all, we're back. Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
So if y'all want to get at us, y'all want to talk some sports, talk some basketball, you know, playoffs is right ahead. Who you like? You know, we can't wait for these first round matchups. What you going to miss about Kobe Bryant? Hall of Fame, any of that? You can reach us via email to brotherslayman@gmail.com. Voicemail 323-455-4219. Twitter at brotherslayman. And reach on the website, blackisonline.com.
If you need to vent any frustration about your team, feel free to leave a message. It is all good. And just hit us up. Holla.
All right, y'all. We're going to stick to some basketball. We got to give it, got to get a shout out to the Villanova Wildcats.
Philly, you got something to be happy about.
Man, talk about a game.
What? Whew, loved it. Yeah. That's what I love about college basketball. Mm-hmm. And you know what else I loved about the game? What I really, really loved about the game?
What's that?
There were a bunch of upperclassmen in that game. I was like, oh, shit, it's not full of freshmen and sophomores. Holy shit, there's some juniors and seniors out here. Oh, my God. And it was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Photo finish, baby. Whew.
Man, I mean, they had, you know, North Carolina had a lead for a minute. Couldn't pull them away, you know, and then the Villanova jumps back, takes the lead, and they get up 10. North Carolina starts coming back. And then, you know, we're having the miraculous three by
Marcus Page.
Yep.
When he double clutched.
Ooh. Man, you I saw that like, building go. I mean, first of all, I looked past that myself. Like, are there anybody in here from Villanova? Because I ain't going for I have – there was one time while we were at Hampton where we actually played, I think, home and road season with North Carolina.
Mm.
And I watched the game in North – we were playing North Carolina at Hampton. Nigga, it was light blue everywhere. I was like, God damn, they come out.
Oh, yeah, so, they love their Tar Heels.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, I couldn't believe that. And then, but we got 4 points second left, 4.9. Runs it down, pops it, gets it to Chris Jenkins. Cool thing about it was all he did was just step into the shot.
Yep, the play was perfect. The play was perfect.
It was tied. So it was like, hey, if we miss, we going into overtime. Throws it up, buzzer. Beep. Game.
He's trailing. Dude just lobbed it off to him. And it was perfect because when he lobbed it off, he basically had a screen.
Yeah, I mean, most of the guys were guarding the paint, which I understand because all they just needed a basket. Yep. They didn't need a three. So I get not, you know, make them take the long three. I get it. You know, but he
buried that sucker.
Yeah. But I can't think of how now it's been a week. The guy who point guard who had the ball. I mean, he drove and literally you just see Jenkins just kind of fade in that spot. Mm-hmm. Nobody's on him. And he could have taken a shot. He could have just drove and like, oh, we run out of time. I got to take it. He didn't. He waited, set him up. Man.
That might have been the greatest.
It was like.
That might have been the greatest last 30 seconds of a basketball game I've ever seen. I was just like, what the hell is going on here?
And you talk about going from loud to a damn pin drop.
Mm.
I mean, you could, North Carolina fans was like, we about to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that shot went up and it got quiet. You were just like, it's good. Like,
yeah, I mean, with plenty of time on the clock, you're like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, and it's just watching college basketball, you see how much these kids, how hard they play and how much they want it. I mean, Marcus Page was heartbroken after the game.
Yeah, I totally understand.
And that's what makes the games, to me, part of the game so good, is because you see how much these kids really are truly invested into the game. It's not about money. It's just about them. They're just trying to win. They're really just trying to play for one another, really trying to win. They put everything they got. I mean, this team, both these teams put everything they had onto the floors, and it's unfortunate that only one team could win. But I mean, kudos to North Carolina. They didn't go out like no punks. Went down swinging. That's how you're supposed to go out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for a better ending than that as a basketball. Now, North Carolina fan, yes, of course you can. But as a fan of just basketball watching, you're like, man, I'm glued. I know Chris Jenkins, man. He in there talking his shit.
Man, I put the pussy on the chain wax.
What? You know they was partying.
Oh, you know it's partying. Now, one thing I wanted, and I tweeted out to ESPN, you know they had cameras in both arenas. Mm-hmm. And clearly they showed the reaction to Villanova when they won. I was like, can you please show us the footage of North Carolina? I wanted to see that. I wanted to see that because I was like, I know when Paige hit that three, they were going nuts.
I know. Yeah, I know that. That and place I know when hysterical. That bucket,
and they're just like, they probably up and cheering and yeah, let's go. Fuck this. It's like, you know what? I want to go home.
I wonder how many people was crying in that damn arena.
Whew. Ooh, I know there was a lot of motherfuckers. A lot of people. Yep.
So, because that's a range of emotion.
I mean, yeah, you going from just popping, you just get in there like shit.
Damn it! God damn it!
Chris Jenkins, shit.
If I see that nigga, I'm gonna whoop his ass.
Yeah, man. Oh,
that's funny.
Shout out to the man that play. Oh my god.
Beautiful thing of beauty.
What a great way to end the college basketball season.
Absolutely.
Oh man. And then of course, you know, there's always, of course, there's been some drama with basketball as well. I'll start with the lighter one that hadn't gotten a lot of pub. Former Southern Miss head coach Donnie tied no hit with a 10-year show cause by the NCAA for academic fraud. And they said other misconduct, including covering up evidence in the NCAA case.
Damn.
And when I was like, what the hell is a show called? Basically, mean he can't coach no fucking where. 10 years. I was like, oh, shit. Well, never heard that before. Like, wow.
Yeah, that's one of those you seriously fucked up.
Yeah.
They pulled out a rule that ain't nobody heard of.
It's like, shit. Yeah, and it said the school's still, getting disciplined and whatnot. I think they had tried their own sanction. I believe the NC2A took some scholarships away. But, I mean, wow. I mean, he's appealing it. But, I mean, I'm trying to find, I don't think I'm going to be able to find. But, yeah, I read some of the things. I was like, this dude, I mean, of course, paying guys, having guys, having people take courses to get guys eligible. I'm like, wow.
Well, the fact that they punished him this severely kind of shows that they have some kind of evidence against him. So he can appeal it all he wants. I doubt it's getting overturned.
Yeah, I don't think so. I doubt that's going to happen. And the other news that came on the same damn day, Tyler Summitt, son of legendary Tennessee head coach Pat Summitt, resigns as a head coach of Louisiana Tech for having relations with one of his players, which included getting that person pregnant.
Now, I am still waiting for the media storm. Where's it at? I'm curious. Like, have you heard the story? Have you heard that story?
Man.
I'm just saying, ain't many people heard the story.
And, man, what's so ironic about that
was the fact that they had this discussion of something like this on Hoopla. Shout out to you, Hoopla Show, Spirit and Storm, about this relations between coach and player.
Yep. Because I want to say there was a school who instilled a rule that you basically you can't date somebody on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this is one of the reasons why. Especially with the women's team, you know, no, it has nothing to do with you know, the genders themselves, but the fact that women can get pregnant, it makes it a tricky situation. So number one, I'm highly disappointed in the media coverage of this story. Highly disappointed, because I personally feel if this was a black coach, it'd be nothing but Hoopla headlines about it.
Oh,
no pun intended.
It would be for sure.
And I find it very, even more so weird that it's getting no headway for the fact that this is a legend's child. This just ain't no regular coach. His mother is arguably the greatest women's coach in the history of sports. So to me, the fact that this is getting like no limelight, no coverage, no nothing it's very weird. Very, very weird.
Yeah, it's not getting the national coverage it probably should. But you know, in Louisiana and for sure in Tennessee.
You're on the Bible Belt, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm knowing the state of Tennessee. It is probably the damn topic. Mm-hmm. It's just like, what the hell? And then, of course, Storm was like, yeah, this happened with him before. Like, what?
Yeah, I read when she tweeted that, and I'm like, what? This ain't the first time? Okay, first of all, the first thing I read that stood out to me was, like, he's 25, and he's the head coach of a woman's team?
Yeah, that's
very young.
It's like having a professor who's 5 years, 3 or 4 years older than me in college. Like, come on. And if my professor is a woman?
There's probably going to be
somebody going to holler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell? I'm like, wow, dude. Then he married. Yep. Like, oh, my God. Like, seriously, dude? Really?
And apparently had no children with his wife.
Mm.
So your first child is with the mistress. Now, I did read an article that came out. I guess there were two women. I guess he was previously an assistant coach at Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
I think if memory serves correctly.
Yes,
I believe there were two players who came down, transferred to Louisiana Tech with him.
Mm.
One young lady I know posted like a tweet or something and was basically like, I ain't pregnant. And like basically posted a picture of herself, flat stomach, the whole nine yards.
Oh, shit.
I believe she's a Latina young lady, I believe. I forget her name. And then I also came across an article where it was this white girl who came down to Marquette with them. And I found that to be very, very odd. I mean, people were throwing her name out. I forget her name, too. That she was basically the person. Now, they haven't come out, as far as I know, they haven't come out yet and said who it was, which I don't think they're going to do.
No, I don't, they shouldn't.
But, I mean, this ain't a good look for the kid, man.
Nah, and,
not at all.
You know, and I read the article and it was like, it's real, that age don't matter. Like, look, if you felt he was good enough at this age to coach your team, then he's mature enough to handle himself. To mm-hmm. not make these stupid ass decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I was just like, I saw that. And I was like, what?
I will say, thank God. Thank the good Lord that from what all we can tell, it was consensual.
Yeah.
Because God knows how to be in a situation where it was not.
Yeah, I'm flying my ass out there to find this dude and I'm beating the shit out of him.
But yeah, like it would have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he already getting his ass whooped by his wife's brothers or cousins or daddy or whoever.
Yeah, that dude got some fucking.
He fucked up.
This man.
Yeah, it's just hard because you just, you know, your mama got Alzheimer's and
she has dementia. Dementia.
Yeah, it's just like, man, come on. You got to be smarter, man. You got to be smarter. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, moving on. Before we get into this subject, we did have somebody who left us a post who did bring it up. So I want to save it for that. It's from the homie Jonathan. Fire show, fellas.
All right.
First up, y'all got to stop using the words Nick, young, and smart in such close proximity.
Oh,
it confuses the listeners. Next, y'all kids have perfect comedian timing. You just don't learn that. It's a gift. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Lastly, did y'all see how fast the NCAA shut down them satellite camps in SEC, ACC country for the sake of the schools, but it takes lawsuits, refusals to play, near-death experiences, and a third of the apocalypse to enact student-athlete change?
Mm.
Shout out to you, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that, and I was like, wait a minute. I had to look that up and read it. I was like, okay. Yeah, I saw some of that. I was like, nigga, yeah, you better stop that.
Wait, what happened?
Basically, at some point, they allowed these schools to have quote-unquote satellite campuses. So basically what it means is like, hey, I'm USC, you know, but you know what? I'm going to have a quote-unquote satellite campus somewhere in Austin, Texas.
So I can scout.
Yeah, so I have access to this pool of talent right over here. And NCAA was like, nah, nigga, we ain't doing that shit no more. Because you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. If it's legal, you damn right. I got a satellite campus somewhere in Florida so I can get that Florida-Georgia mix.
Yep.
Somewhere around Texas, I can get that Texas, Oklahoma,
yep.
Louisiana.
And all over California.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm one of them schools down south, like, yeah, I'm going to put one over somewhere in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Get some of that talent up in the North Pacific Northwest, all that. I did see that the head coach of who sent that? I think Baylor sent it. Well, the head coach of Stanford was like
Stanford, David Shaw.
Yeah, he was like, ain't no point in putting one down, you know. Basically he was like, yo, the way to get into our school
y'all niggas too stupid to get in our school anyway. It ain't no point. Let's just keep it real what he said.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, ain't smart enough to get into Stanford anyway, so it serves no purpose of going down to the SEC.
Yeah, I mean,
y'all some Southern boys. All y'all care about is sports. We want guys who care about academics as well, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, SEC, look, they just, that area, that Bible, they just breed football players.
Exactly.
And you come in here to play.
Yeah.
And they know
that. You're not coming here for academics. Yeah. And they know that.
Shit, some of them probably in high school. You here at this high school to play football. Not to get a damn diploma.
Disregarding Ivy League schools, Stanford is probably one of the hardest schools to get into in the country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see why Notre Dame having problems now.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame ain't easy to get in.
Nope.
Yeah, I am impressed with Stanford because I'm like, you guys are getting quality talent and being also in the mix because, I mean, shit. We all act like it now, but I'm like, look, think about when you was going into high school and when you like, you applying to Stanford? I ain't getting into Stanford. Shit.
No, and I know people who went to Lasers with me who got into Stanford. Brilliant, very, very smart people who got into Stanford. And I was like, goddamn, congratulations to you because I sure as hell wasn't getting in.
Nope.
not with my grades.
Yeah, what you got? A 3.2? That ain't enough.
Nope.
Like a 3.9.
3.7 and 5 and above at least.
Yeah.
And
scoring like, what, 1,300, some high ass shit on the SATs. Mm-hmm. Got to do all of that. I mean, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I saw that, man. Yeah, they came on that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ruled that out the blue. It was just like, oh, we stopping this immediately.
Yeah, because honestly, all that's going to open is if y'all really going using all of this money
mm-hmm.
to go all over the place and, you know, try to find this talent, how about y'all start paying these kids then?
Yeah.
You want to spy on them? How about you pay these kids some money then? Because goddamn, they ain't cash cows.
Yeah, because I'm like, you
them need like to fucking cattle at this point.
Yeah, figure something out, because I'm like, it take damn near, like you said, every damn thing for it to happen just to get something to go the player's way.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was like, okay, there's a lot going on. So, yeah, moving on to the NFL. Shit, I tell you, Baylor re-signed Aldon Smith, 2-year deal.
Hey, shout out. Nice move.
Yeah, currently serving a year-long suspension, violating substance abuse. You going to say something?
No.
Okay. Saw the league scraps the annual rookie symposium for a rookie transition program that will be held by all 32 teams.
Yes.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. I guess after the draft, normally they have like a 2-3-day symposium. Everybody goes to one location and they, you know, they talk about basically everything from finances mm-hmm. to security to all that stuff. Pretty much everything they don't listen to.
Right.
Which basically now is going to be held at their own team's facilities, which I think is smart.
Yeah, all the teams can do it. They can speak to their own players.
They can do it their own type of way. With their own.
Yeah, now I think before they had just drafted first-year players. Now it's going to include rookie free agents. I'm like, that's good, too. Cover all the bases.
Yeah, which was, to me, was kind of weird that even the undrafted rookies didn't get a chance to, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Of course, we got to talk about your head coach, Gary Kubiak, who's reportedly talking to Johnny Manziel.
Oh, my God. So the fuck with what? The team. According to sources, we don't know what. See, this is why I hate sources too. What they talk about? According to sources, they talked about him being on the team. In what context? Enlighten me, please.
Yeah,
because I would like to know. Besides the fact that both of them went to Texas A&M, I really don't. Because as far as I know, right now, Johnny Manziel ain't beating out Mark Sanchez. So, what's the point?
Yeah, I read and I was like, okay. And it was some when it came out, because they, you know, it didn't linger long. Broncos were like, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing at all.
They have already come out and said, we are not signing Johnny Manziel. It's not happening. God damn, they do their due diligence. I didn't realize that was a crime.
Yeah, God. I was like, okay. You know, like, nope. You
that
know,
ain't he's news.
He's a Texas A&M alum. He's speaking out. I'm like, did they talk football? Probably.
They said he also reached out to him for just personal reasons.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, he's looking at him, but John Elway ain't gonna let that happen. And they'd be like,
I'm like, dude, get your damn life together.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more stuff to worry about than that. But yeah, I know you were like, what?
It does not make sense
at all. I was like, no way. I know we're desperate for quarterbacks right now, but hold on, folks.
Yeah, you can find us something.
Let's roll with Bunt Fumble. Jesus.
Oh, man, yeah. And then with news of his roommate, you know, I'm not talking about Von Miller because he done shut that down. Josh Gordon fails a drug test he just had recently.
As I told Chris before the show, I'm done with dummies. I'm done with idiots. I'm done with dumbasses. I don't have the energy for dumbass people anymore. This is unfreaking believable. He's a pothead. I said it the last time he got freaking tested positive. I'm going to say it again for the last time. He is a pothead. I don't understand how in any way in the fucking world we can be worth that much money. This dude was on the verge of making himself millions of dollars, threw it all away. Was suspended a year, was on the verge pretty much of being reinstated into the league for this season. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear teams talk, you got to read between the lines sometimes to really get what they're saying. The Cleveland Browns have been saying all offseason, getting Josh Gordon here is a bonus. They were in no way or shape or form expecting Josh Gordon to be there. This is probably why. They probably knew the nigga was going to fail the drug test. Honestly, they probably already had their intel. It was like, well, Josh failed the drug test. Because I'm sure, you know, the drug test was what? They said it was last month. I'm sure they knew immediately he failed. They probably found out immediately. It was just like, oh, done. We ain't worrying about him now. I don't think they're going to release him just so they can hold on to his rights, so nobody can just outright sign him. They're not going to make it easy for him to just find another job to play. Plus, I don't think anybody wants him anyway at this point.
Nah,
he's got a problem, man.
Yeah, he keeps going really down the road. Supposedly,
the fact that he's living with Johnny Football, that makes it even worse.
Yeah, supposedly it was. Yeah, it said it's from according to sources that it was marijuana, a small amount, but still enough to test positive. Yeah, he's living with Johnny Manziel off Sunset Boulevard. I'm like,
which makes me wonder, nigga, is Johnny Football smoking weed too?
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, Josh Gordon. This just, it's just another reason why he will not get reinstated.
His career's over. His career's over. Where Josh Gordon had 1 year of greatness. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's a fucking shame. It's a waste of talent.
Yeah, it is. That
pisses me.
Yeah. Speaking of greatness, shout out to DeBrickashaw Ferguson retiring after 10 years.
Played shout out to him, man.
Said 167 consecutive starts, including the playoffs.
That's an Iron Man for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I remember when he came out, he was highly picked. He was a number 4 pick.
Out of Virginia.
Yeah, dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Jets going to miss him bad.
Well, Jets going to miss him. They were able to get a replacement. We'll speak about that in a second. But shout out to DeBrickashaw Ferguson for standing his ground. Jets wanted him to take a massive pay cut. They basically told him, take a pay cut or you're getting cut. And he was like, I'll do you one better and I'll retire.
Yeah,
now you ain't got a left tackle.
Like, damn.
I mean, but again, when it comes to football, dude, he's been playing in New York for double-digit years. Mm-hmm. Do I really want to move, pack up my family, and go somewhere else? No. I've made millions of dollars. I've been, for the most part, relatively healthy throughout my career. Let me quit while I'm ahead. And fuck it. I just live my life. Shout out power to him, man. Power to him. Man.
10 seasons.
He made buku money.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Left tackle is a premium position. He got his money.
Yep. Saw the Bengals gave Marvin Lewis a 1 year extension. Basically, just to heat on going under quote unquote lame duck.
They've already come out and said that this, well, sources said that. The organization is tired of him losing. I'm like, have you checked the watch, nigga? It's been, 14 years? Mm-hmm. God damn, how would I – let me go work for Cincinnati. They lenient.
Yeah, it's just hard.
They give you a long leash.
Yeah, he's getting them close. It's just, when the playoff hit, it's just, can't get over that hump.
Didn't Lovie Smith get Chicago to the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And he was ousted.
He was out.
Marvin Lewis ain't won a fucking playoff game. And he's still getting chances. Nigga, please. I don't give a this at some point where it's like, nigga, black, white, it don't matter. You just ain't producing as a coach.
Yeah, you're not. Like, you've got talent. You trying. You had a great season. You went 12-4. You just get to the play. Over court. Of course, the quarterback got hurt, which didn't help.
Well, you would have won the game if your team didn't implode and didn't let their emotions get the best of them, which shows how much of a leadership you have, Mr. Marvin Lewis, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of them, Jets, they did have a trade with your team. You got Ryan Clady.
Yes, seventh-round
pick. You got a fifth-round pick for him.
Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, baby. We need to clear up some of that cap room so now we can sign Von Miller long term, baby. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
No, that money cleared is not for Kaepernick. Let that be known. that is not big for Kaepernick. And they have already come out and said they ain't budging from that stance to his pay cut, regardless of how much cap room they cleared. Nigga, we didn't clear this cap room for you.
Yeah, I mean, they want he's not taking the pay cut. Broncos,
it's not going to happen.
Broncos ain't paying that money. Frisco's not paying that extra money. So, well, enjoy your time in Frisco.
He'll be in Frisco. And we're going to draft a quarterback.
Yep. That's what you're going to have to do.
Yep.
All right, one more thing before we get out of this NFL.
This probably could be saved for what the fuck, but Greg Hardy said in the ESPN interview that he has never hit a woman and was claiming he did an interview with Adam Schefter, been saying photos can be doctored, blah, 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 all these bullshit-ass excuses that nobody's believing. Got to give love to Steve Smith, who basically called his ass out on it.
Oh, he got I got the quote right here. Steve Smith tweeted out, "Guess she tripped on the carpet or something." Like, nigga, get your lying ass out of here.
And he came back. Oh, I didn't say I didn't do nothing wrong. I just said, like, nigga, what? So you didn't beat her up. You saying you didn't hit her, but you saying you deserve some blame for something. Like, what?
We saw the pictures, nigga. We saw the pictures.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you... Yeah, this is one of them, another head scratcher. Man, I don't know who getting it. Adam Schefter been, I like Adam Schefter. He been doing some head scratching things, you know, lately.
Been on his Chris Broussard.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you interviewing? Not even him. Why are you, this goes back to Nick Young type shit. Why the fuck would you do the interview? Why? You're a free agent. You, I'm sure, would like to be playing football still. This shit is going to be over your head anyway. Why are you? I'm not talking about it. Just be like, hey, you know what? I served my time. I got suspended for it. That's it. Look, clearly if somebody's going to ask you, did you do it? You're going to say no. And you're going to say, I was cleared of all charges. You know, we may not. We ain't buying it. You know,
exactly.
But then just what you say. But I'm not, why in this world where everything is so hypersensitive around this topic, I mean, we've already got, you know, a rookie or a potential rookie, Baylor defensive end Sean Oakman, subject of a rape allegation. I mean, this is bad shit.
Yep.
And you were like the talk of the town with all this happening. Do not say anything. What bringing it up is going to do you what good?
The only reason this should have been brought up and the only reason he should have done that interview was to show some remorse for what he did and perhaps apologize and perhaps enlighten us on a little bit of why it happened. But that wasn't what he did.
Nope.
And in a sense, I feel like he's cost himself a job. Nobody's touching that nigga now. Nope. If he had come out, been a little bit remorseful, kind of dove into the situation a little bit and try to explain what happened. You know, it was a mistake. I'm trying to get better and blah, blah, blah. Maybe he gets a shot. Now with what he did with that interview, I don't think anybody's touching him, especially him coming out talking about, I think he forgot what he said, but he basically was like, Alden Smith getting the contract and I can't get one. And it's just like, see, here we go. This is why you can't get a contract. You just don't know how to shut the fuck up. Just shut up. God, it's sometimes with cats, you just like, if you would just be fucking quiet and not say nothing, you'd be okay.
Yep.
But God damn, you just open your mouth and shit flies out of it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's a moron. He's an idiot. He's another one I think his career is over. After what happened last year with the Cowboys, he wasn't even that great.
No.
So I think people are done. They don't want to deal with the antics, and it's not worth the headache. I don't give a shit how good he is. It's not worth it.
No, it is not. Not at all. Moving on. Feel bad for Jordan Spieth. He was leading the Masters and just... oof.
As someone who occasionally taps into golf. I feel bad for him, dude.
I mean, he basically for the whole weekend, he was leading.
He was killing. And you're just like, and then I looked and it was like, wait, he collapsed? What happened?
It seemed like, yeah,
he had a quadruple bogey?
Yeah, on a par three.
Oh,
12 hole.
Shit. Yeah, he hit it in the water.
Two shots in the water, a quadruple, but it's going to be seven. God damn. Yeah.
He had a three quad bogey.
But, yeah, I think he had a couple bogeys two holes before.
Oh.
And that one was, oof. And he took it, did the interviews and all that, because, I mean, shit.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, but yeah. Respect the man. I mean, he took the interview and took it like a man.
Yeah, shout out to Danny Willett. Got him a green jacket, his first major.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's number people, you know, all these, I don't keep up in, with golf like that, but it's supposedly he's number 12 in the world, so it's not like he's number 385. He got lucky, but I was like, oh, okay, it is a known guy, okay. You know, good, but oof, man.
Boy, man. Bounce back, though, boy.
You are going to have to get you bounce back in this next one, get you a major, man. Oof.
A choke that was a job. Bad choke. Yeah, that was a bad choke job.
Yeah, this weekend, Pacquiao beat Bradley. Unanimous decision.
Yeah, saw the fight.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, okay.
My homeboy, for Edgar's birthday, he wanted to watch the fight, so we watched the fight.
Okay.
I think it was in the fourth or fifth round. I thought Bradley lost his footing a little bit on that one.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was a full-fledged knockdown.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I think it was the seventh round that first one came. Yeah, it was kind of like, okay, they counted it. And then he got knocked down again in the ninth. Like, yep.
Yeah, that one he got stunned. And just kind of fell down a little bit. But I mean, towards the end, it was a wrap, man. Bradley was fighting like a little punk. He wasn't throwing. I was like, dude, at this point, you better start throwing some blows. He wasn't aggressive. Aggressive enough. So, but apparently that was Pacquiao's last fight. So. Shout out to Manny Pacquiao for all those great years of boxing, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. I know they've already, you know, brought up, are they going to have a rematch with Mayweather? I'm like, yeah, no. Both of y'all niggas just go retire.
Yeah.
You didn't do it when you were supposed to. You did it now. You got your money. I didn't pay for it. I'm glad I didn't. Enjoy retirement. Or for Manny, enjoy politics. Keep the religious aspects out of the politics, and you should be okay. Don't bring them views anymore again. keep that to yourself.
That's not
gonna help you out.
The slightest.
Nope. All right, man. Let's hop in titties. I know you gotta. I'm curious to see what you got today. 5 minutes with Grandpa. What's up?
All right. 5 minutes with GPZ. So let's first gotta give the prayers out to the man. Former NFL defensive lineman Will Smith was shot and killed in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That is just, it was one tragedy of a story.
Yeah.
Just to find out. I mean, it hit me especially just because when it comes to sports, I mean, basketball and football are like 1A and 1B for me. I love basketball and football pretty much equally. So much so that if somebody would put a gun to my head and was just like, pick a sport, I might be like, you might have to shoot me because I can't. Like, right. I just love both sports that much. And I distinctly remember, you know, being, you know, getting in high school, basically playing NC2A football and playing with Will Smith. On the Ohio State Buckeyes, man. I mean, this is a dude who I truly, like, I grew up with just watching him play. I thought he was a great player, was a first-round pick from the Saints. Ended up playing there for his, I think, for the bulk of his career. I think he ended it with the Patriots, I think. But, I mean, for the most part, he was solid his whole career. High-character guy, never really got into any trouble or anything like that. And just to hear that he got shot and gunned down over some road rage was freaking insane. I mean, just like, goddamn, you rear-ended. So he was rear-ended by someone, and the person who rear-ended him ended up shooting him, killing him.
Yep.
And shooting his wife twice, putting her in the hospital.
Yeah.
It was just a horrible situation. And then to find out the whole ironic situation is that one of the people with Will Smith was a cop who happened to be, I guess, part of a group of officers who killed the suspect's father. Yes, people, this is a whole shit bomb of a story. Like, I can't make this stuff up. But just looking at this whole story, this whole situation with guns got to go, man. I don't know what needs to be done, but there has to be stricter rules and processes in place to make it a little bit harder for some of these guys to get guns. I mean, goddamn, the dude just had a gun in his car. I mean, I know New Orleans itself is a dangerous city in its own. I get it. I know. I see all the statistics and everything. I understand. But something's got to be done about the gun laws. I get it's a constitutional right to bear arms, but there has to be some restrictions just based off society and the way we are now. I mean, everybody is so quick to pull a gun nowadays and shoot somebody. It's scary. I mean, that goes from just your average Joe to law enforcement. I mean, everybody is quick to draw a gun and shoot somebody. It's like the Wild West out here sometimes.
Yeah.
It really – there needs to be some kind of restriction, whether it's you know, having mandatory, you know, gun training sessions before you're actually allowed to carry, you know, to actually purchase your firearm, or having having psychological tests done on people purchasing guns, just to make sure you are on your rocker before we allow you to get, before we give you a tool that you can use to execute somebody. How about we take the necessary steps to make sure when we hand a gun off to somebody and they're paying for it, that mentally they're stable, so that we don't have just random psychopaths shooting people with guns and then finding out, oh, well, he wasn't mentally stable, or he had PTSD, or he's a schizo, or he's this, that, and the other. How about we be proactive? We take the necessary steps. You know, everybody's talking about black-on-black crime. I just heard today, when I was listening to First Take, and they were talking about this, about black-on-black crime. You want to kill black-on-black crime? Get rid of guns. Get rid of guns, because these niggas can't shoot anybody anymore. They're going to have to figure it out verbally. You want to use your fist? Fine. Punch. Fight. That's how cats used to solve problems back in the days. You use it with your fist. Whatever. Take it back to the old school. But we got to figure out a way to alleviate this gun issue, because it really is scary. It really is getting to the point. God damn, like, anybody can get a gun. It is easier to get a gun than to buy a fucking pack of cigarettes, I believe. It's baffling. And I can't even explain what should be done, or what path we should follow, or what we have to do. But I know we got to start somewhere, whether it's just tweaking the policies or something, you know, having some type of limitation, or some type of background check, some type of check screening, something to make sure, and you know, that people who are getting guns are getting them for a specific reason. I mean, yes, you know, guns can be a useful form of protection for your family and yourself, you know, and your loved ones. But it's being responsible with it. It's not all about, you know, the thugs and hanging the gun sideways and just knowing how to shoot a gun. Do you properly know how to shoot your gun? Do you properly know how to clean your gun? Do you properly know how to carry it in a holster? Do you properly know how to hold and aim it when you're firing it, so there's no recoil, no kickback? I mean, just the little technical aspects of it. They should require people to go to training. They should require psychological exams. They should require background checks, just to make sure we weed out the unnecessary people who don't need to have guns in their hands. Because super shit like this is happening. A motherfucker gets rear-ended and it turns into a murder off of a fucking car accident. I mean, that's just the sense that we have in this country that really drives me insane. And something's got to be done. Necessary steps need to be taken. You know, people out there, if you got ideas, if you hit me, let me know what we got to do to fix this issue, because something's got to be done. Because I'd be damned if I see my kids or my niece or my nephew or anybody I care about gunned down over some fucking senselessness, over a car accident, over something very stupid and not necessary. It's fucking sad. It's got to stop. Something has got to be done. Otherwise, the violence, the killing, it's all going to just continue. If there's no change, there's no progress. So we got to find out and figure out a way. That's all I got.
All right, man.
What the fuck are we doing out here? I ask you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, man, I feel you, man. It is frustrating. Some things need to be done. I've seen Sean Payton and Drew Brees vented their frustration about it. I'll probably touch on it a little more in my what the fuck moment. But nah, you speaking, something's got to be done. We got to do something to try to curb all this gun violence that's been going on in this country.
Yeah.
Hopefully we all can come together to figure it out for sure.
I hope so.
All right, y'all. Moving on, we're going to get into these awards. First off, starting off with the Noice Award.
Noice.
All right. I actually got a few of these.
All right.
Giving one out to Zach Levine, who donated some of his dunk contest winnings to the Metro Deaf School in St. Paul, Minnesota, for a new kitchen and cafeteria. School caters to 100 hearing impaired students. I read he got involved with sign language in high school and kind of stuck with it. And this is something that he found was a good cause. So, hey, man, shout out to you, man. That's great. You know, just giving, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Changing the kitchen, the cafeteria, making it nicer for kids to eat. So I was like, wow, okay, that's what we're talking about. We need more of that out there.
Great minds think alike. That was on my list, too.
All right. Shout out to my man, Tim Duncan, third player to reach 1,000 career regular season wins, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Robert Parrish being the other. So if you're a good player and you on a good team, you play to U40, you can hit that. My last one is going out to this dedication they did for Fife Dog this past week. I don't know when his funeral was, but afterwards they had a nice little event for him that Revolt TV was streaming live. I mean, you had KRS-One speak, Kanye West, Andre 3000. Of course, you had the other three members of Tribe. I mean, that shit was powerful. I mean, you had legends in the building, you know, people who were there before him who saw him come into the game and the impact that he and Tribe had, and people who were affected by Tribe Called Quest and him there just speaking. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I was really like, wow, this is the part of hip hop for the culture that doesn't get enough shine. I mean, guys in there paying respect. I mean, it's just like, there's love there. You know, he's a pioneer. He's a legend. And you've got other legends here giving him love.
Yeah.
You know, KRS-One speaking on him and was like, yo, I'm going to perform his favorite song, which was I'm Still Number One. He breaks out, I'm Still Number One. You got the crowd rapping with him. I mean, Busta Rhymes, they've flown to Busta Rhymes. He's rapping line for line. I mean, Busta goes up and tells the story at some point. I mean, he got real emotional at times. I mean, the last three ended it. The Tribe members, I mean, Jerobi fucking broke down. Q-Tip's breaking down. They're telling these stories about him and what they mean to him. And I mean, it was awesome. So I don't know if it's still on there. I know I've seen a little bit of the pieces in it. So, I mean, if y'all can find it, check it out. It is worth watching. It's long, but I mean, a lot of great messages brought out there just about our music and, you know, Kanye spoke. I mean, it was great. So I recommend everybody checking it out for sure. So yeah, that's all I got.
For sure. For my Noice Awards, So shout out to Zach Levine. That story was a little meaningful to me. My wife knows sign language as well. So I know how important that is to those kids who are hearing impaired. Trevor Story, this kid is a beast. He set the record for Major League Baseball, hitting 7 home runs in 6 games. So this is a kid who had the pressure of taking over for Troy Tulowitzki, who was traded to Toronto last year. Big shoes to fill. I mean, he has made a true name for himself to start off the freaking baseball season. Because, I mean, 7 homers in 6 games. Yeah, he had 2 in his first game.
Yeah, in his first game.
2 at-bats.
Yeah, and he's, what, 4 homers in his first 4 game, first starts? That's crazy.
Yep. I mean, he's on a fucking roll. So, shout out to that man. And then, sticking with baseball, I just thought this was adorable. Dexter Fowler, when he's away, I guess his daughter, she's like 2 or 3 years old. She watches his games. And there just happened to be, I guess his wife was taping, and there's a shot where he comes on the screen of the TV they're watching. You just see her looking at it, and she's like, "Daddy, Daddy," and she kind of hugs the TV. I just thought it was cute. I'm like, you know, we always hear about deadbeat dads, and I just think it's real cool to see, you know, a black dad who is loved and truly loved by his little girl, which means to me that he's taking care of her.
That's what's up.
Shout out to that brother.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then, last but not least, I wanted to give one to Greg Popovich just because I thought this shit was joke. So basically, of course, when, you know, they hit the 39-0 mark at home, he was asked about, you know, the record and whatnot. And in Greg Popovich form, he basically told the reporter, "I give 2 shits about the record." He said, and I quote, "What does that get you if you're defeated? Does it win anything? That's why it's meaningless. Maybe a cup of coffee or something, but that's about it." Like, and I told Chris earlier, this is why I truly do have and I'm sure Baylor agrees, just a profound respect for San Antonio, because all they give a fuck about is winning. That's it. Like, it ain't about records. It's not about recognition. It's not about individual achievement. It's about us being collective as a team and winning. And this is why, for the past 15 plus years, this team has won 50 fucking games minus the lockout season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it truly is about the team. And then, I mean, just take a step back for a second. I want people to take a step back and really look at the Spurs organization over the past decade. What players do they go after? Team first players. That's it. They go after team first players, high character guys. How many players have you heard from San Antonio that get DUIs, that are getting suspended for this or suspended for that? I don't even think they get technicals half the time. Like they just play the game the way it's supposed to be played. It's all about the results in the end. It's all about the chips and whatever I got to do to get that end result. I'm going to do it. He is so criticized for resting players, yet he has proven time and time again he can do it and win. So, I mean, for everybody nowadays who – and I was reading an article today, too, from 2012 when they fined the Spurs 250 Gs for resting all them players from Miami.
Yeah.
And Greg Popovich was quoted in saying, he's like, "There's no ruling for it. So basically, I'm going to play my players how I want to play my players." And to my knowledge, they still haven't changed the rule for it.
Nope.
So I find it very funny that Greg Popovich is chastised for it, was fined $250,000 for it, or the Spurs organization was fined $250,000 for it, but now everybody's doing it. There's no punishment for them. That's okay. Popovich does it. He's turning a blind eye to the league.
Oh no, he's got a balls, because he'll do it on like the games that everybody really want to see. He may be like, "Yeah, not. Oh, that's on a back to back. Yeah, I'm gonna play you."
Yeah,
especially with teams he knows if his that team he could plays see in the well. Playoffs. Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, you don't need to see everything."
And to me, he's one of the few coaches who has earned a pass for when it comes to resting players. Because, number one, for the past 10 years, his team has been deemed old. he even listed Tim Duncan as being coach's decision not play old. So, I mean, he makes light of, you know, everybody wants to call us old. That's fine. since we're old, that's fine. I'm going to rest my players then.
Yeah.
And people call the Spurs boring. So why does him resting his players, why does that bug you guys so much? I just really want to know. If the Spurs are so boring, they're so old, then why does it matter who he plays? I'm just curious. I'm just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
But now that everybody else does it, it's not a problem. Well, I know Spirit got a problem with it.
Yeah, we're going to have to delve deeper. When they come in, we can talk about that rest.
That's all. I just wanted to give that shout out to Pop because that was funny, but that's all I got.
All right. And there was one that I didn't think of when we mentioned it, but I got to, you know, play it one more time because I can't play it.
I just hope we can win a game.
Shout out to the Sixers. Got that 10th win versus New Orleans.
Where did it, baby?
Yeah. Now you avoided the mark. Congratulations.
Hopefully they got to win one of them games at home.
Yeah, which now means now that you done changed GMs and all that, I bet you now they get the number one pick. You'd be like, motherfucker.
How fucked up would that be?
They're like, oh, now that I leave, I get the number one pick. Okay, league, I see you.
that's funny.
That's how you feel.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Last segment of the night. Get the what the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
It's always fun every time I listen to it. All right, what you got?
So, I got a couple.
All right.
So, there's a fighter by the name of Dada 5000. Who was in a fight with Kimbo Slice. And apparently Kimbo killed him.
What?
He literally killed him. So he was apparently listed as clinically dead, but was brought back to life. So apparently he's a zombie. and Dada 5000 was quoted as saying, "Yes, I did have kidney failure during the fight. I also had two heart attacks, which I did code, a.k.a. died during the fight. Glory to the Most High, which saw favor and in me to bring me back." Mm-hmm. I said, "This motherfucker's a zombie." I'm like, "You had a kidney failure and two heart attacks?
Damn.
You're a zombie.
Hit you hard in the moment. You're a demon.
You made a deal with the devil.
That shit, damn."
But I was like, yeah, shout out. I mean, I'm glad the man's okay, but yeah, that's some scary shit, man.
Damn. Yeah, you may not want to fight no more.
And two heart attacks? Yeah, you don't need to fight no more, dude. Nope. And then lastly, I had to give a what the fuck to Mr. Mike Tyson, who congratulated the UConn, well, not necessarily the UConn, but congratulated the women's college champion. It's just unfortunately the wrong team.
Oh, no.
He sent out a tweet. He said, "Congrats to the University of Cincinnati women's basketball team. National championship win. 4 years in a row. Hashtag awesome. How about hashtag dumbass? Are you kidding me?" University of Cincinnati. And it was funny because the University of Cincinnati basically replied with one of the emojis with the hand under the chin with the eyebrow raised, like, "Is that for us?" And it was like, appreciate the gesture, Mike, but we didn't win, bro. And it was funny. It was like Cincinnati women were like 14-16 on the year. Like, they weren't even like. It was just like, oh, Tyson, damn, Mike Tyson again.
Shout out to the UConn women, man. That shit's crazy. Four straight titles. Damn.
And shout out to the University of Cincinnati, even though you didn't win. Mike Tyson seems to think you did.
Mike Tyson mentioned you. You win him. Dang, you're a Cincinnati. Oh, my God.
Shout out to UFC.
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, that was fine. All right, I have just a few. First one was a sad one. I heard former Utah Jazz coach Jerry Sloan is battling Parkinson's disease. And Lewy body disease. I was like, man, I was a big fan of Jerry Sloan back in the day. So I was like, oh, that stuff you don't want here.
Yeah, I respect to Jerry Sloan.
Yeah, he said he's doing, not asking for any sympathy and all that. You know how Jerry Sloan is. Prayers going out to you. This I'd one.
Great. Dude, Jesus Christ.
I know. I was like, people were still looking at, probably had him as a coach, but fuck. Yeah, sad. This one is somewhat related to your 5 minutes with Grandpa. Ray Lewis's video with him being upset at the Black Lives Matter movement.
I still haven't watched it.
But not some black on black crime. I mean,
it's very preachy.
Oh yeah, he gets in preachy mode. I'm like, man, come on, like, what do I have my thing? It wasn't necessary. It was like, why are you? It ain't no need. Personal plug. We already had this conversation on the break. Had a 3-part series on the Black Lives Matter about a few weeks ago.
Really good.
And the same topic was brought up, not in the sing-songy way that this nigga Ray Lewis did it. I mean, you kind of check out at some point. You're just like, nigga, what are you doing?
Mm.
I mean, he's trying to make a point. But then he starts singing it, and you know how the black preachers do. It's like,
oh, are you serious?
He started going, and then I watched the whole thing to make sure I watched it. But you know, at some point, about 3 minutes in, I'm
stop
like,
"Stop it! Stop it! I can't take it anymore!"
I mean, he was like, "What are you doing?" But we had this, and I know we talked about it. I mean, one, I guess because I'm getting older, you start paying attention, hear what people say. I'm doing my best to not use the term black on black crime no more, because nobody else uses that shit at all for any other community.
Yeah, you really don't hear white on white or Hispanic on Hispanic. You
know, the most people who kill white folk are white folk. You're not like, oh, well, some white on white crime happened today. You know, you want to say some inner
community. Because they make up the majority.
Yeah, they slap the term so then they can just use it. Like, well, what about black on black crime and this and that? Basically, in a nutshell, to me, it goes between, after having our conversation on the break, there's a difference between the title of what the movement is and what these particular people in the movement are focused on. They're focused on police brutality, the killing of unarmed black children by cops. That's their focus. But because the name of their cause is a huge umbrella term, Black Lives Matter, that they're like, well, why don't you focus on all this other stuff?
It's a little too general.
Yeah. And my thing is, as mad as people are getting, which now we have another one about this, why don't you gather up all them people and y'all focus on it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you can't ask this. Why are y'all focusing on that? Like, nigga, do you know how many problems we as a people have between
the system? There's a laundry list of things.
If you want to go through the whole white supremacy, the American government system that is set up to not have us win on one end, and then you have, you know, issues that all communities have that are just inside our own house, things that we got to fix. We can't just be like, well, if we fix it, it's like the chicken and the egg. Like, which one needs to happen first?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they got to happen simultaneously. Well, we can't all work on all of them at the same motherfucking time. Yeah. Some of y'all, if your passion is to stop seeing us taking our own lives, then focus on that, you know, but there are some people who are like, you know what? This shit of cops killing blacks just really fucking bothers me. And I want to do something about it. Well, then, you know, do that.
Mm-hmm.
We all got, you know, education sucks. Do that. Mm-hmm. We ain't representing in government. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there ain't enough community. There's not enough job. Do, you know, focus can be everywhere. And you know, I was like, nigga, don't be getting this sing-songy preaching shit. You want to speak to the community to try to help lessen guns in the community, alternatives to stop
kids from killing each other, giving them stuff to do, then focus on that. Mm-hmm. But don't blame the damn movement for like they not focused on where they should be. No, they focused on where they need to be. You clearly are called by God to speak on it. Then you go ahead and focus on that. Anyway, yeah, that was my 5 minutes.
With hey, 5 minutes for Chris.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the last, because I wanted to laugh, end it on something funny. Von Miller on Johnny Manziel. If I had to make my decision on it, he would already be on the Broncos. I was like, nigga, Jonathan, do you want a giga boy? What the fuck? Because I'm giving him one.
I was just like, God damn it,
yeah,
Von.
Yeah. Now, now, after that line, he did say all the right things in that, hey, you know, I trust in the organization and John Elway. You know, they've been doing great things. Obviously, they've helped build us, helped get us a Super Bowl. I trust him, and I know he's going to do the best. He's going to do whatever it takes to help our team win and do what's best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like how he came out and was like, Johnny Manziel and I are not roommates.
Yes, let's clarify that
but,
shit.
But that's my boy, like my stepbrother, whatever. But this he's shit, I'm like.
Thank you saying him.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, he would already be on the team. That's, well, it's probably best that you are not the GM.
Yeah, he's pumping up his boy. And...
Yeah, it was, but I was like, and that's why you play football and you're not in the booth as of yet. Maybe in the future, but like, yeah.
Right now.
Maybe management is not the best position for you post
Miller need career. To get his fart issues under control, because apparently that fool getting fined in freaking Dancing with the Stars for every time he farts. He does that shit in the Denver Broncos meeting rooms.
He just farts all the time?
Nigga be farting all the time.
Oh,
shit. And they fine him for that shit. I think it's like a $500 or something, or that $100 or some shit like that every time he breaks wind in the damn meeting room.
I just got the fart jar. It's like,
I mean, he's a clown.
Pass him the jar. Come up here, put the jar in.
I mean, this is the same dude who was doing the Hingle McCringleberry on the field. I mean, he's a fool sometimes. I like when Von Miller speaks. Sometimes I'm just like, Von, it's just Von being Von. He's just talking.
Yeah, he's just silly as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was funny. So, yes, thank y'all for rolling with us. I know this is a long show. Thank y'all for hanging around with us, checking us out. Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Black Is Network. As I said, make sure you guys are checking out the other shows. Please check out The Break. I had a nice discussion with journalist Sinkay Henderson. He wrote an article, wrote a piece in The New Yorker about what Barack Obama could do post-presidency. The article was specifically on teaching. So we had him on the show to talk to us about his article. We had a nice discussion about it. Make sure you check that out.
I think he tweeted out the article, too.
Yeah, he did. And yeah, we've tweeted it out as well. It was a great article. Great reading. Recommend you guys checking it out. Please leave us ratings and reviews. Please review the show. iTunes, Stitcher, we do appreciate it. If you want to get at us directly, you can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. We are on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. And you can always find us on the website, blackisonline.com.
Yes, sir. Hope you, ladies and gents, hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy the show, go ahead and leave them 5-star reviews for us. We do definitely appreciate them. Keep the feedback coming, y'all. We love it. We love reading it. We love dishing it out. It's excellent. Excellent. Just keep it on coming. Jonathan, thank you for another comment, sir. The man with the best name in America. You are the man, sir. For the longtime listeners, definitely want to thank you guys for listening to us for the long haul. For the first-time listeners, definitely want to thank you guys for just taking the time out to check out what we do up in here in the happy hour. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and tell all your loved ones about it. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. We got today. Go ahead and tell your hot dogs. Tell your snakes. Tell your hamburgers. Tell your angel food cake. Tell your cheesecake. Tell your devil's food. Tell your TVs. Tell Beauty and the Beast. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla!
Miscellaneous shit, baby. Meaning. Yeah. Super dear. Yeah. I make you wanna rock to the joint, roll up a joint, bust shots to the joint, Spike Lee to the joint, bounce to the joint, screw to the joint, say what? Yeah, you know it's on point. Just ride to the joint, ride to the joint, bump and grind to the joint, then skate to the joint, now slide to the joint, act wild with the joint, huh? Once again, it's on point. Come on. Party over here, fuck y'all over there. Drinks on Malik, you live once, I don't care. Love the nightlife like Sunny, love share. Bound to take a shorty home, put her ass in the air. Look at Miss Diddy, I think she type busy. One of the simpler ways that a bro can get busy. Fat Joe Pun said it's all about Trizzy. Spit the game in the air, in the culture kid me. Had to give it to her, came out, pulled out my zipper. Now I'm like, whoa, cause here come my baby father. Shit, money's big, I think I'm gonna need backup. He walked right past me and smacked her ass up. Woo, that's a close one, damn, let me bounce. Third floor, gotta see who else is in the house. Up north, reppin' with these chips from down south. Shorty sippin' Hennessy, singin' put it in your mouth. Rock to the joint, roll to the joint, bust shots to the joint, Spike Lee to the joint, bounce to the joint, screw to the joint. You know it's on point. Vibe to the joint, ride to the joint, bump and grind to the joint, unwind to the joint, slide to the joint, act wild to the joint. You know it's on point. Come on. On tour, chillin', now we at the after party. Common sense, most deaf, fucking everybody. For killing at the telly, I'm scooping me a hottie. Drill a load of girls and no shorties looking sloppy. Came through the door, made the dance go wild. Shorty saying my name like Destiny's Child. So I just smile, yet I'm thirsting like how. I know I'm type foul, to be steady on the prowl. Eyes wide open like a motherfucking owl. Who's this dick bitty chick with the Colgate smile? Said her name was Taffy, with no spider acne. Straight from St. Louis, said she loved to do me. Smack her on the ass as if she was the big sippy. Wanted to give my neck a hickey. But something's got a tricky. Looked at the board, oh shit, it couldn't be. The J to the A to the N to the E. You don't understand, ask EPMD. Thinking to myself, God damn it, why me? Thinking to myself, God damn it, why me? Thinking to myself, God damn it, why me? Rock to the joint, roll up a joint, bust shots to the joint, Spike Lee to the joint, bounce to the joint, screw to the joint. You know it's on point,
no doubt.
Now vibe to the joint, ride to the joint, bump and grind to the joint, unwind. Slide to the joint, act wild to the joint. You know it's on point.
No doubt, no doubt.
You know it's on point.
No doubt.
You know it's on point.
No doubt.
You know it's on point.
On point.
On point. Yeah. Super, 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 super Dave on the track. Yes.